fabulous episode of
The Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs with security, show business.
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show today.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank my lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. Any contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK. P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Please join Don and Mike for a beautiful
Everybody loves Don.
Las Vegas style show. For the first time ever, the Don and Mike Las Vegas style show does a two-nighter out west. It's at Paul Quinn College.
No, Barry, it's in Sacramento.
God damn it. I'm cutting a f***ing spot, Tony. Let's try this here again, one more time. Friday, April 27th at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater at 8 p.m. And on Saturday, the 28th, the very next night, they perform in Reno, of course, at the beautiful Silver Legacy Resort Casino City Center Pavilion. It will be one hell of a sexy time. And ladies are always welcome. Stay tuned to your local Don and Mike Love Network affiliate station to find out how to get your tickets now.
Barry, that was great.
Fuck this shit, Tony. I don't need this bullshit.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
What the fuck is going to you?
Catholic.
Don't refer to him as Tom. Refer to him as Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Or simply Jesus.
Okay, Baby Jesus. What happens on Easter Sunday?
The bunny comes in late and leaves.
No. What really happens on Easter Sunday?
Baby Jesus is born.
No, that's Christmas. What happens on Easter?
I don't have mercy.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer, okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Donovan.
Hi.
The son of a beach.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Or you don't know good fellow book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I get sad.
Why?
I get sad when I think about all the chocolate bunnies that are missing their heads. But then I get happy when I remember that, yes, the reason those bunnies had their ears and their heads eaten by children,
the reason for the season,
is because this man allegedly climbed out from his pile of rock oh so many years ago.
With a caveman.
But of grace, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak.
The son of God, Phil Hochberg.
The first big day yesterday, and he left me a very hip Easter greeting.
What was it?
He said, hey, Rob, roll the rock and roll.
Right.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hugh Mungo and all the ships at sea. And now the stars of When Billy Beat Bobby, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Of course, they've named an NBC TV show after you.
Yes.
The Weakest Link. And hiya, thank you for listening, everybody. It's a new episode on Monday, April 16.
Feels like it.
And, you know, I wish that
the tax stuff was yesterday and not today, that we didn't have the extra day. And the reason is that I didn't watch the news last night. I know I'll watch the news tonight, and I know I'll be pissed off by the idiot reporter that they send down to the post office to talk to the idiots who have waited to the last minute to file their taxes.
Somewhere in there is an extremely lazy news director, in my opinion. I always feel that way about the day before Thanksgiving, and it just to me is laziness. It's like, okay, send the person down to the post office for the tax day report.
And you're going to see generally two kinds of idiots tonight who are being interviewed by the idiot reporter from the idiot television station. You'll see the idiot that says, I love to wait till the last minute. I wait till the last. It's like Christmas. I wait till the last minute. And then you'll get the other guy who says, I'm not giving to the government no money until the last possible second.
Right. Sure. Those people. That's right. Why there are lots of crowds. And then, of course, there's the standard procrastinator.
Friggin' dopes. I bet Z100 or Q107 will be down there, of course, with the band giving away free donuts and coffee to the last minute tax filers.
Yeah, rewarding the slackers and the dullers.
That's
and
right.
Don't forget those tax preparation survival kits, coffee and aspirin.
Yeah, just for your last second tax headaches. It pisses me off. It's not even happened yet, but I know tonight that no matter what happens, we could send a spy plane over China. They could blow it out of the friggin' sky. We could drop an A-bomb on China. All of this happening before the 11 o'clock news, but the lead story would still be, well, there's just 1 hour left to file your taxes. Let's go to Wendy Rieger, who's down at the old post office.
Always the same, especially here in D.C., and in the nation's capital. I know you get these stories everywhere you go in the United States, but I'll tell you, around here, our stagnant local news coverage is the worst in the United States.
But they do this story. This will be the lead story.
This will be everywhere.
In every market that we broadcast to. And generally, the reporter who draws the story is the biggest idiot on staff. If you work at a TV station and you want to know where you are in the pecking order,
right.
If you've come into work today and they say, hey, great news, you're the lead story tonight. You're going down to the post office to interview the idiots who have waited to the last minute. Then
you're in trouble.
That you're last.
I just get so frustrated with local news. You know, local news, local weather. We talk about it all the time. It seems like the older I get, the more I hate it. I hate it even when they do the cutaways on the Today Show for the local news. I hate it because first thing in the morning they show a shot of the airport, and the only thing those idiots can say every single morning the same thing: a plane taking off as you'll get the stammering as they process whether it's okay, cloudy, or sunny.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing stuff. It really is.
At Alzheimer National Airport here in D.C. Well, now that I got that out of the way.
I appreciate that opportunity to piggyback on your venting there.
But I know it's going to happen. And Rob, just for snicks tonight, why don't you run tape on 5, 4, 7, and 9.
All right.
And tomorrow we can play them back and see which coverage is the most insipid. Right. Which coverage was the absolute dumbest?
I caught one forecast over the weekend, and now if I see a forecast of rain on Tuesday's weather, I get extremely excited.
Sure.
Because I know it's going to be sunny on Saturday.
Yeah, of course.
It's the way I'm playing it now, and that's where I'll play it for the rest of the summer.
Yeah. I was watching Channel 4 in New York yesterday morning where they had the weather guy out at, when they do the lead up to the Today Show? They have like an hour of local crap.
Right, exactly.
They had the weather guy out at the car show, which is nothing more than simply an advertisement for the car companies, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're the kind of remotes, they're TV cameras there, but they're the kind of remotes that you and I did at the very smallest of radio stations.
So the guy out there from News Channel 4, he's going, well, we're here at the auto show. This is a beautiful, this is not a car you can buy. This is one of those that they're looking at. It's a possible car for the future. I'll tell you what's not a possibility. That's the chance that we're going to have some rain on this Easter Sunday. So then he does the forecast, and they go back to the anchors, and the anchors say to this guy, this is where they always get in trouble. They ad-lib, they say.
Yeah, and they're completely lost.
Hey, Steve, that car looks like it would be good for you. Meanwhile, you know, the guy, he thinks he's done with his break, so the camera goes back to the weather guy from Channel 4, and he's got his finger up to the thing in his ear, and he looks up, he's surprised that he's on camera. He goes, yeah, that would be a good car for me.
Yeah, it sure would.
And then there's another second to a second and a half where these people, who all they do is read off cards, they can't figure out what to say. The anchor guy says, well, that would be a good car for you because it's rough and tough. And they go back to the weather guy. He's just standing there, and he's just looking at the camera, and he goes, yeah, I'm rough and tough. And then there's one beat, two beat, and then they start the do-do-do, the music. And what pisses me off is the anchor people start laughing. Like they
like it's the funniest thing they've ever heard.
Like, hey, look at this. Look what we just did.
Arch Campbell laughed.
We just ad-libbed a great bit on News Channel 4.
Arch Campbell laughed. He is a local guy here in Washington, D.C. He usually does movie reviews, and he's the local guy on Channel 4, the NBC affiliate. And Arch Campbell laughs at anything, because it is, some people have verbal crutches. I have many. They've been pointed out to me. Arch's crutch is his laughter. He will laugh if there is silence. That's how he will fill it. And it won't be like a, it's,
and a lot of times, it's inopportune that you hear him off of the corner,
right,
where they're saying, Arch Campbell coming up with his movie review.
Like, for example, you be Jim Vance, and I'll often say, so I like it. I think it's a great movie, and I think everybody should go see it. And then you say to me, you like movies, don't you, Arch?
You like movies, don't you, Arch?
Coming up, the story of five children who perished in a house fire in Southwest D.C.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Would someone please give Jim Vance the memos to tell him to get some Grecian formula? That he's looking an awful lot like Grady from Stanford and Son.
I love talking about local news. It's the best. He is. He is truly going all gray.
I don't mind the gray because that makes him look stately, but he wears like checks and plaids together. Somebody needs to dress him. Right. That's my concern.
Yeah, I think he's the worst dressed anchor. Yeah. I've always felt that
way.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I love these guys in Sacramento that they send up to the Donner Summit.
You can't say the S word. I mean, I agree with the point you're making, that if you send someone up to this Donner Pass where there's a snowstorm, that they're on the S list, but you can't say the S word on the radio.
Sorry, Donner.
I think the worst job, really worse than any of them, may be the people they send out when there's a snowstorm to the piles of salt and sand, where the trucks are getting ready. And the lower you are on the food chain, the earlier they'll make you go. Like if it's Wednesday and we're expecting a storm on Friday.
And there's nothing to report.
Nothing at all to report. They are the ones that have to interview the drivers. You know, are you ready?
We're ready.
Stupid.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Back to you.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
This is John down at Fort Myers, the flamethrower, WTLQ.
Right.
How about the fake ad-libbing they do at the on-the-scene interviews when the reporter, like, tosses out a question to the reporter back in the studio?
That is fake. He's right. That is fake, though.
No, it's not fake.
No, when the anchors do that, a lot of times when you've got a reporter that gets a follow-up question from the anchor, I'd say 90% of the time that's prearranged. That's actually, we're going to ask you.
That's what I'm saying. It's not spontaneous. Who's doing the report...
It's a fake ad-lib, is what he was saying. Right. Yes.
And the anchor man is sitting there making you think that he's been listening to the story and he's thought of a great follow-up question.
And, you know, the way I confirmed... I always knew they did that because I saw a lot of this stuff, but I confirmed it with the wild feeds. On the big dish that I used to have, when I'd watch them and they'd say, okay, we'll ask you a follow-up about the such and such. And then they go back and go, okay, that's some. But you have one extra question here.
Yeah, like, I'm going to stump you now spontaneously to see if you really know about this story that you've been reporting on. But meanwhile, they've already given the guy the question and given the guy the answer.
I think a lot of the real only time you'll see that if it's really spontaneous, sometimes you get the big guys, the Jennings, the Rathers, because they can do whatever they want.
Sure.
And you can tell when a national correspondent gets one that's not, you know, prepared. Because they will say, well, do you know, was there a date given? You know, when the anchors get like a little irritated, and you'll see the reporter go, pa, pa,
yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, you guys don't like when those news reporters go to the post office and start asking all those idiotic questions?
No, it's idiots interviewing idiots.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. If you don't like it, why don't y'all just change the channel?
Because it's on all the channels.
Hold on. Do change. No, you're right.
That was good, Buster Balls.
You're absolutely
funny.
Right.
That was very, very funny.
Thank you, my friend.
Just change the station.
Thanks, bye.
Just change the station. Bye-bye.
I should, but I won't.
I know.
Hello, Don and Mike show. It's an event. It's must-see TV.
Of course.
Hello.
Oops, my wife gets so tired of me complaining about the local news because it really has become a total obsession with me. It used to be just the weather, and because the weather forecasts have been so crappy, now it just sort of permeates every other aspect of the newscast.
Well, listen, let me start the show with a couple of announcements here. First, yesterday was Easter.
Yes.
And we're celebrating today and tomorrow with the Secret Jesus Contest.
Very good.
Much like our Secret Santa Contest.
Right. Now, we're not claiming that the real Jesus has come back.
No.
Right? You know, because you don't want to get people all excited about that prospect.
It simply is a person who's going to be at a shopping mall today. Now, it could be an old person, a young person, a male, a female, a white, a black, an oriental. It could be someone working at a store.
Mm-hmm.
It could be someone in line at a store. Today, if you live in the Washington, D.C. area, go to Tyson's One.
Okay.
Tyson's Corner One Shopping Center. Between 5 and 6 p.m., every person you see, walk up to them and say, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike.
Okay.
Find our secret Jesus, and you will immediately be given $100 in cash.
Very exciting.
That's between 5 and 6 p.m. today at Tyson's Corner Number 1. Everybody you see, and I don't want to discount the fact that we might have a store employee,
mm-hmm.
that it might just be some slacker, it might be some old broad.
Right.
We've got someone who's going to be at the mall between 5 and 6, just waiting to be asked,
mm-hmm.
the question, waiting to hear,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike.
That's cool. And you picked out the Secret Jesus, and you will win $100.
And immediately, Secret Jesus will whisk you to a telephone where you will call us, and you will claim your prize.
Wonderful.
Now, if you're listening to us in the tri-state area, in New York, since we're on tape delay, we got to set this up one day in advance. But tomorrow, same time, between 5 and 6, the Don and Mike WNEW Secret Jesus will be at the Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City, right off the Meadowbrook Parkway. Okay? I don't want to say if it's a he or a she.
Could be anybody, young, old.
But that's tomorrow between 5 and 6. Again, if you're in the Garden City area, go to Roosevelt Field Mall. And between 5 and 6, walk up to everybody you see in the mall and say, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike.
Yes, it's like a testimonial.
Find the secret Jesus and immediately be given a brand new $100 bill.
Very, very exciting.
And you'll call in and be a part of the show. So today, Tyson's One in Washington, D.C., actually in Northern Virginia, between 5 and 6. That's for the D.C. area. Tomorrow, New York City, Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City, which is actually in New Jersey, right off the Meadowbrook Parkway.
Good luck.
Both of them between 5 and 6 p.m. And our secret Jesus, the secret Jesuses, will be calling in each of them as soon as they find a winner.
Very good.
So that's today at Tyson's Corner. And
good luck finding the secret Jesus.
Tomorrow at Roosevelt Field Mall. Now, the weekend, we had a weekend. I don't know where to start with the weekend.
Where do you begin?
Let me tell you, first off, I got a message on the machine from George McFly.
Right.
A disturbing message from this jockey friend, George McFly.
Is he employed?
I've not heard the message.
Oh.
My wife has heard the message. We were up at the beach for Easter weekend with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as she got back home, she called me and she said, you will not believe the message from George. So we will hear that message together on the show here in just a second.
Goody.
Okay? No.
Great.
I mean, he's really...
Oh, good.
Oh, dear. This is... This is the worst I've heard him.
Really?
The absolute worst, and he needs some help, and I hope that we can help him out. I did go to see Joe Dirt this weekend.
Mm-hmm. I asked you before. I didn't want you to tell me what you thought, but I wanted to know whether you had seen it, and you had seen it.
Yes. Bart and I went to see it on Saturday, and, you know, on Friday I'd been screaming that it had the possibility to be maybe one of the funniest movies ever.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it got horrible reviews, but you went in with an open mind.
It is, without a doubt, one of the top five worst movies I have ever seen in my life.
That bad.
It is awful.
So for once, one of those rare times, it happens occasionally, you can agree with Stossel on this movie.
Except I would give it no stars. I think Stossel gave it one star.
I think he gave it one star.
He gave it one star. Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
The movie sucks so bad. First off, how Dennis Miller's agent allowed him to be in this movie when Dennis Miller has an HBO show and he's got Monday Night Football.
Well, you look at the Dennis Miller filmography, and there is some real garbage in there.
I know, but now he's got a couple of high-profile gigs.
Right.
Christopher Walken is featured in this movie, and it is an embarrassment to Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm. Rosanna, yeah, Dennis Miller, and you got Christopher Walken.
And Rosanna Arquette featured in this movie.
Oh, my God, and they can't save it.
What they should do is they should line up Dennis Miller, Christopher Walken, Rosanna Arquette, put the gun to Dennis Miller's head, and let the bullet go through his head, then through Christopher Walken's head,
right,
then through Rosanna Arquette's head. And if there's any room, let it go through David Spade's head, although I'm pretty sure that there's nothing in David Spade's head. It would go in one ear and out the other.
Wow. Man, oh, man. Well, you know, you got your warning, and did your son like it, or did he hate it?
He loved it.
He loved it.
He loved it, and as a matter of fact, he made a point of telling me that I should be honest, that there is one scene that I did laugh at.
Okay.
And I did laugh out loud.
Well, I know that somebody was saying that there's a funny scene.
There's one scene, and I'm not going to, you know, listen, it's Joe Dirt.
Right.
So if you're mad that I'm going to tell you the one funny scene, well, that
first time you see David Spade, do you laugh, or is it just too?
No, because if you've
I saw the hair do it.
If you've seen the commercials, you've already seen pretty much the funniest part of the movie.
Wow.
And it's the problem, like, with everything on Saturday Night Live or anybody who's connected with Saturday Night Live. Joe Dirt would have been a good 10-minute skit on Saturday Night Live. The movie, thank God, is maybe like an hour and 10 minutes long. It's a real short movie. And a lot of it because...
What time did you check your... How far into it did you check your watch?
4 minutes.
That bad?
4 minutes into the movie, I checked my watch.
That's horrible. When you see that.
To be honest, in case Boy calls in today, and I know he will because he loved this movie, the one scene that did make me laugh is when David Spade believes he has found, and this is in the trailers, he believes he has found an atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And he duct tapes himself to the atomic bomb to make some demands, Joe Dirt. And at one point the cops come in and they say, hey, that's no atomic bomb, that's a septic tank from underneath somebody's home. And they pop the top on it, and all of this excrement comes out.
And covers him?
And covers him.
And that's it.
That made me laugh.
That's it.
That made me laugh out loud.
That's the only laugh in the movie.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise, it's worse than Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. it's worse than that Wedding Singer movie.
Right.
That Adam Sandler did.
Boy.
I'm trying to think of dumb movies. It's worse than Coneheads.
You know, David Spade, was I saying the other day that David Spade has yet to make his best movie?
That's true.
You know, he's going to run out of opportunities if he keeps making stinkers like this.
Well, this might be his best movie.
Oh.
It is freaking awful.
God, I mean, that's why when you get a Something About Mary, you know, when you get a movie like that, you really have to cherish it, because comedies, it's just tough to make one that's fantastic.
And I went in wanting to like the movie, and even better, Bart and I went. It was a beautiful weekend. We're the only idiots dumb enough to go to a 3 o'clock showing of Joe Dirt. So we had the theater to ourselves. We had an Elvis screening. So we were actually, before the movie started, we were speaking out loud. We were like yelling at each other and stuff for the movie, and it was the perfect situation. If the movie had been funny, it would have been the perfect situation to see it in.
Because you could laugh out loud.
Yeah, except there was absolutely nothing to laugh at.
So you can back up what everybody has said about this movie. If one of the worst movies. Some people have really come out and said it's one of the worst movies ever made.
It would be in my top five worst movies I've ever seen ever.
I mean, David Spade plays it one way and only one way, and if he's got no material to work with, I mean, forget it.
And if he didn't have the scene where he's strapped to the rocket and he's covered in poop...
It would be the worst movie you've ever seen.
It could be the worst movie I've ever seen. But I did laugh at that one point, and, you know, I guess it's the fact that I'm getting older and Bart is 16... He loved it, and as a matter of fact, when the movie was over, Bart stood up and applauded.
There are not many movies he doesn't like still, though. He's been that way since he's been a little kid, that he likes movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
although
he just likes being there.
He's more selective now. I mean, when he was a kid, we could pretty much take him to any piece of crap movie that was out, and he'd sit there because he enjoyed it. Now he selects the movies that he wants to see, but
he is the supreme Renaissance man, the way I understand it. Frida talks about how she can take him to the arts movies that she likes to go, and he enjoys them. And you can take him to Joe Dirt, and he likes that, too.
Yeah, likes everything, I guess.
He'll be very happy.
I don't know. All I know is that I was supremely disappointed and really pissed off at David Spade.
You were supremely disappointed, but you weren't surprised, I'm sure.
I was surprised. I had maybe psyched myself into this thinking that it was going to be at least like Waterboy good.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, I wasn't
on paper when you hear the premise of the movie. It made me laugh. The premise, I was, you know, thinking it could have potential, but then I saw that ad for it on TV, and it was just, oh my God, he looks silly.
And a lot of the movie is David Spade narrating.
He looks like a woman with facial hair.
Right. Because David Spade couldn't figure out a way to make the transitions in the movies.
Right.
A lot of it is him just where they have a shot of a city, and he says, "And this is when I decided that I would move to Los Angeles to try to find my parents. It was a long and arduous journey, but I was glad that I had made it."
Not exactly the taxi driver narration.
No. And the other thing that just kills me about this is that Dennis Miller plays a shock jock.
Right.
And this is what hurts us.
He hates Dennis Miller hates shock jocks, to the best of my knowledge.
Not from the standpoint of what Dennis Miller is saying on his show, which is certainly not shocking. As a matter of fact, at one point Bart poked me when Dennis Miller was talking to Joe Dirt, and he says, "Hey, listen, I just got 4 hours a day to film, man. Today you're my 4 hours to film." But the thing is that they have Dennis Miller in this gigantic, futuristic radio studio in which, and he's not wearing headphones.
Sure, oh, okay, right there.
So he's sitting, and he's got, like, no control board in front of him. He's just got a phone bank in front of him, and it's got all of the, it looks like the Starship Enterprise. And he's got all of this computer stuff behind him and big reel-to-reel machines, and up in the corner, it's got, like, an owner's box, and there are, like, 20 people behind the box who are the people who are supposedly the mind behind the show and putting it on. And
so jive.
And, you know, I'm watching this thinking, no wonder people are disappointed when they come into our studio.
Yeah, and they see this rat hole and they see what it takes to put this show on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just sucks.
A lot of dust.
Sucks. I pay $7.50. They didn't even have a cheap matinee. It was $7.50 for Joe Dirt.
Wow. If you hadn't been with your son, would you have walked?
Yes. I would have walked 4 minutes into it.
Oh, really?
If I had not been with Barty.
At least he had a good time.
Yeah. Oh, he had a great time.
He's a teenager. He's supposed to.
He absolutely loved it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi.
How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. Am I on the air right now?
Yeah, turn your radio down, please.
It is down right now.
It was up.
It was up.
Now it's down.
It is down. I am driving in a truck, though.
Okay.
I wanted to comment about something else that I thought was funny in the Joe Dirt movie.
Did you just turn it up again?
No, that was my two-way radio. I just turned it off.
Well, just tell me, did you like Joe Dirt?
No. I did not at all. I took my niece to see it and her friends, and it was, I could not wait to get out of there.
Uncle. Your uncle.
I went to see it with my uncle, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what?
I'm sorry?
Why did you call?
You guys were commenting on what you thought was funny about the movie, and I just wanted to ask if you thought the scene with the dog was funny at all, where you got...
No. No.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, goodbye.
That was a scene Stossel pointed out.
The dog's testicles.
What type of mind goes to see Joe Dirt?
Well, hold on. You're looking at the type of mind that goes to
see. Yeah, but you had an agenda. I give you a free pass on that when you had an agenda to go. You went to, you're going to prove a point to talk about it.
And I thought, there was a part of me that thought I should lie and just say it's funny.
I'm glad you didn't, though.
To come in today and say, hey, I didn't know
right up until the time you said whether you're going to like
pretty
it.
Pretty good. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
That was a terrible movie. I don't know why you went to see it. Didn't your boy Charlie say it was a good movie? That you'd like it because it had that Dennis Miller disc jockey thing in it? Did you relate?
First off, Charlie Stossel is an idiot. I think everyone who listens to the show knows that. That he's like the weatherman on TV. If he says it's bad, there's a very good chance it's good.
Right.
Also, my son wanted to see it. Frankly, I thought the ads looked funny. And yes, I am a supreme Dennis Miller aficionado. And not even Dennis Miller could save it. When Dennis Miller is the disc jockey, he's talking to this guy, Joe Dirt, using the Dennis Miller vocabulary.
I can name one good movie Dennis Miller was in.
What?
Disclosure.
Yeah, but he had a small role in
tiny
it,
role,
right?
But he was very good in it. And other than that, he made some, like, Blood of the Vampire or something, right? Wasn't some horrible
something
movie
like
that?
Yes. He was in Murder at 1600. With Snipes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which wasn't bad.
He's no good. He's not a good actor.
He's not an actor.
Not at all. He's a good comedian. He's okay on Monday Night Football, but no, the movie just blew.
But Christopher Walken, you know, what's great about Christopher Walken, he will do anything.
Yes, he will.
He really will. He'll do any role. It doesn't matter, little man.
Just made me feel bad for all of these guys. How do you F up a movie when you have what seems to be a funny premise?
Right.
And you've got Dennis Miller and Christopher Walken and Rosanna Arquette, and still, it's one of the top five worst movies I have ever seen.
It's amazing, really. When you think about the people that work out there, I think about movies a lot and how much goes into making a lot of these movies and these professional people you have, and you have checks and balances, and you can still put this crap out. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. You know, there's so many great independent films, comedies. I'm sure they're out there. Scripts that are just thrown away by these idiot executives because they don't fit the mold or they're not the perfect vehicle for the particular star.
That's right.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that ends up on the floor that would be great if they just develop it.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody wants to make the Adam Sandler movies.
Like Monkeys on Mars, for example.
I'm guilty of this. I think all of Adam Sandler's movies, except The Wedding Singer and the last one, Little Nicky, all of them are good.
Well, that's why, you know, movie stars are movie stars, because you'll go to see it because you like the individual. I'm the same way. I've got certain actors that I want to go see, and it doesn't necessarily matter how good the movie is. I'll be in the theater anyway, even if it's got bad reviews.
And we saw an ad for a movie with Rob Schneider that looks to be an even bigger piece of garbage.
I'm sure.
The movie is called Animal, where Rob Schneider is a guy. Now, again, this is like Joe Dirt. I'm going to tell you the premise of the movie, and you're going to think it's a funny premise. And I think from seeing the ad, it would make a good skit on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who's involved in some kind of car accident.
Right.
And to save his life, a mad scientist takes an animal's brain and puts animal DNA into Rob Schneider. So Rob Schneider, when he comes out of the surgery, does stuff like humps dogs, and there's a kid who's drowning, and he jumps into the pool to save him, except he swims like a dolphin, and he makes the dolphin sound.
You know, no, I'm not going to give in. I don't think that's funny. I think Joe Dirt had a funnier premise.
And Colleen from Survivor is his girlfriend.
That's right.
In this movie, in the movie Animal.
Because we know she's certainly paid her dues.
Yeah, right.
Let's give her a starring role in a feature film.
Well, all she has to do in this movie, as far as I can tell from the ad, is just sit there and smile.
Look,
she's the good-looking girl, of which there is also one in Joe Dirt. There is the POA who Joe Dirt ends up with.
You know, the two POAs on the recent Survivor
beautiful
are much better looking than Colleen, in my opinion. The
Elizabeth and Amber.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of those chicks is going to be in Playboy. Now, one of them is married to some born-again football player.
One of them, Elizabeth, is engaged now to a player, a quarterback from Boston College, who's expected to go NFL.
Tim Hasselbeck. But the other one, Amber, says that she would be in Playboy.
Right. Fantastic.
Oh, and somebody beat up Jervis. Oh, really?
Yes. A limo driver.
Yes. From the first Survivor.
Beat him up, huh?
Beat him up. He was going to be on a soap opera, doing a walk-on on a soap opera.
And the limo driver beat him up?
The limo driver assaulted him.
For supposedly putting his feet up on the leather seats. That's how Jervis says it started.
He's Jervis, man.
That's pretty amazing.
Hello.
Putting your feet up on a leather seat.
Yeah, like on the back of the seat or whatever.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. I listened to the local radio show in the morning on Friday morning, and you'll never guess who was there. You remember Bridget the Midget?
What market are you calling from?
KHTK.
Oh, Sacramento.
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
And you'll never guess where she's working at now.
Are you sure it's our Bridget the Midget?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there are 30,000 Bridget the Midget.
Yeah, well, I asked her, don't they, Don and Mike, would get a little upset about this, and she said, I did it to make them upset. And that's how I figured. She's working at the Bunny Ranch.
There's no way that our Bridget the Midget is a whore.
That's what she said.
No, I know who you're talking about.
All right.
You're talking about another. This is a woman that has a website.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is a woman who's been on that other show.
Oh, no. No, listen. Our Bridget the Midget is a. I was going to say she's wholesome. She's not wholesome, our Bridget the Midget.
No, but I know that this guy's talking about a porn star. Like a person that's been in movies.
No, it's a different Bridget the Midget.
Then that's my fault. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it all came clearly to me.
Although we do have midgets in the news today.
Midgets in the news.
Scott the Dwarf is coming by today.
With his band?
Nope. Just his CD.
Oh, man.
He just wants to, I don't know, he wants us to play his CD like we played Mr. 40's CD. Apparently he's going on tour with Offspring.
The Little Kings, right?
That's right.
That's the name of his band?
Right. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey.
It's Chris. It's Chris, the NCAA gambler guy, the shave your head guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, hey, I heard you guys make a bet over the Caps on Friday, and I was just trying to get in on the action.
Well, who do you like, the Penguins or the Capitals?
I'm a Caps fan.
You go.
And yeah, I know, sure. Don, I know you put up 100. Right. I'm willing to go anything, Don. I just like gambling with you.
You like gambling? Okay, well then, is it a bet like we had before where I don't have to put up anything?
Like, well, you'll save your head if Pittsburgh beats the Caps?
Because that's the deal we had.
You're on again. You're on. I will grow my hair out even further. I'll give you a nice Puerto Rican afro.
You know the football, right?
Yeah.
I know the hockey.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of that game on Saturday.
Yeah, the Capitals suck.
I was there.
I'll tell you that.
It was so disappointing.
You know.
The Washington Capitals always lose.
They are going to have to do something dramatically different. I mean, change the entire flow of that series. Things I am not optimistic right now.
But if you are willing to bet,
nobody wants the Caps to win more than I do, too. I'm a big Caps fan, but man, I felt like I was watching every playoff series for the last 15 years, and that's how long I've been rooting for this team.
And if they lose the night, they're done.
Well, yeah. Some might say they were dumb when they didn't win the second one. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the same old stuff. They can't score.
If you're willing to put your hair on the line. And I don't have to put
on the line once more.
And I don't have to put anything on the line. Well, of course, it's a bet.
Yeah, okay. You got it.
All right, it's a bet. Hold on.
He loves to bet.
Give Lisa your information.
Now, I should point out that on that other bet, you do have something on the line. If the Red Sox go to the World Series.
Oh, yes, then I will shave my head.
You have to shave your head. Right. I just thought I'd I'm feeling very good about my boys today.
What did I tell you today? I said, look at the calendars. April 16th.
Three out of the four.
Mm-hmm.
Three out of the four.
Beat the Yankees.
Three out of four.
Happy Patriots Day, everybody.
Right. I said to Mike, talk to me in August.
Yep. That big Mike Mussina pickup. Way to go.
It's April.
I know.
Talk to me in August.
I understand, but, you know, I have to take the little victories.
Okay.
Because Lord knows there'll be pain down the road.
I know. And what did I say to you upstairs, and I really meant it, I'm glad you're happy for the day.
I like the fact that they got such a, you know, the Red Sox don't have their complete team right now. They've got kind of a skeleton crew that they're throwing out there. And
oh, right.
And, I like that.
And they're winning right now. They're just patching it together. But when they get everything in place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watch out.
Scary.
Watch out.
I'd say this year's team, they could have some, they could actually win the division. I'd say that could happen.
You.
Absolutely. One day at a time.
You're such a Red Sox retard.
But hey, but my team's winning. My team's doing very well.
Your team is winning 1 week into the season.
Yeah, a couple of weeks into the season.
So are the Minnesota Twins.
They're doing very, very well. I'm very, very happy because I don't think they... I never thought that they would. You know, me at the beginning of the season, I was saying the way things look coming out of spring training, they look very good.
Log today's tape.
Right.
As soon as they go into the tank, I want to start playing these tapes back for Mike.
I freely admit that I go hot and cold on them. I always do, but on days like this, I feel very optimistic. You had man for man, the team, the Yankees team against the Red Sox team. Man for man, the superior team on the field was the New York Yankees. Almost by position, maybe with a couple of exceptions, you could go position by position and you would say, who's got the better player? The New York Yankees.
But somehow
they pulled it together.
Somehow the Red Sox won 3 out of 4 meaningless games in the second week of the season.
Well, it's baseball, so they're not meaningless because it's all about the division and, you know, whether you win the division, you get a bye in the playoffs. So they're not meaningless, and especially when they played. You know, they played the Yankees 19 times this year.
Yeah, I know.
I know I'm going to get a lot of heat from Yankee fans, but, you know, hey, this is where I'm from. You know, so
right.
Give me a break.
That's all right. All the Yankee fans will be rejoicing with me when you're shaving your head on August 1st.
You know what?
When the Red Sox are mathematically eliminated.
And then I will, but you know what? No matter what, if I do have to shave my head when the Red Sox are mathematically If the Red Sox are mathematically eliminated, I will come back the following year and I will root for them again.
Yes, you will.
I was talking to somebody about this. It's a, I don't want to call it a disease, but it's a disease. It's not normal.
No, it's not
a normal relationship.
You're
with
an abused
sports friend.
Spouse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know. We've been through this 1,000 times. You're the girl on Cops who's standing at the trailer going, got blood coming out of her nose. Don't arrest. Oh, I love him. I love him. He is so good to me. He didn't mean to hit me. That's you. But for now, if you're happy.
You know, I'm happy. A whole bunch of people are happy today, and it was fun to watch. And you take them when you can get them. You really do. I've learned that. That's one thing I have learned over the years, is that you do enjoy. You have to gloat a little bit on the victories, because those victories won't be coming, you know, fast and furious. You got to enjoy.
That's right.
You have to enjoy the moment.
That's right.
And then,
right.
You know, in the event, you know what? In the event that they do get to the World Series, I might just really shake your hand, go up to the top of the building, jump right off. Now, that would have to be if they won the World Series, you know, and it's like, Don, there's no point.
Right.
Good night, everybody.
Not a chance. And I know our bet is not that the Red Sox win the World Series.
They get to the World
Series. It's that they make it to the World Series.
Yeah.
Not a chance. Not a chance. I've never been more confident about a bet in my life.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Red Sox have been very, very good to you in bets.
Yes, they have.
Very good to you in bets.
I don't think I've ever lost a Red Sox bet.
And this is the wildest bet that I've ever made. I've made easy bets that I really thought I was going to win, and they've screwed it up.
Yeah.
This one is just, this is the pipe dream bet.
All right, so be happy.
I'm very happy.
Enjoy.
I'm happy every time they win. I'm happy every time, no matter who they beat. That gives me, that affects my mood. It affects my mood.
Well, you know what then, Rob? Let's just keep track of the next time the Red Sox go into 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 14-game losing streaks.
Right.
We'll bring this tape out for balance.
Yeah, and you know, then I'll really, like, get pissed off.
When you're really down.
Thank you.
At your worst moment. Right back at you.
Thank you, old friend.
Well, listen, it was your idea, old friend. You're the guy who came in one day and said, I am positive the Red Sox are going to the World Series this year.
I know.
There's no prompting from me, old friend.
I was giving the old friend for the mid-season torture that you're planning for me. You know, the unrelated torture, you know.
Of course. We got to listen to you now, all happy.
You know. I know that pains you.
How many games did I play? 10 games?
Something like that, yeah.
10 games out of 162.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. You're already blowing your load.
Patriots Day against the Yankees. It was fun. It was fun to have a ball game before the show started today. Have an entire ball game. The Golden Boy was happy today.
Glad you're happy, GB.
I was sitting there eating my yogurt raisins. Having a fantastic morning.
We'll be playing this music when you get your head shaved.
The Golden Boy. The Golden Boy is a Quinn Martin production.
A Bo Sox production. Sponsored by Jimmy's Farm.
The Jimmy Fun.
Jimmy Fun.
Jimmy Fun. That's good, though. That's a good... Is that from your days in Rhode Island? Do you remember that one?
Yeah. Maybe you could just hang yourself from that big Citgo sign at the back of Fenway Park. Or maybe you could jump off the giant Coca-Cola bottle.
Hang glide from the Prudential Tower.
Oh, Golden Boy.
Well, you get an affiliate in Boston.
Makes you happy.
Yeah, right. We do. We really ought to get an affiliate in Boston. Some small station.
That's right.
Be nice to, get some feedback from up there.
Oh, boy.
I am happy.
You really are way out of, you're out of your league today. I mean, you're too happy to do the show tonight. We get down, man.
I can't help myself today. I really can't.
Come back and join the rest of us who are miserable.
You know what? I tell you one thing. There are 19 games that they're playing the Yankees, and they're not going to win every series they play the Yankees. The next time, and when the Yankees beat the Red Sox, just remember this, because you will be able, as up as I am right now, I will be back down again.
I know, you crash hard.
You know what the difference is between Red Sox fans and Yankees fans?
About 70 IQ points.
Why do you say about 27 world championships is what you can say?
Wiping habits.
I walk up to this guy at a party over the weekend. When you tell a Yankee fan that their team lost, they won't believe you. Okay. Yeah, the reaction would be, no, you're full of it. But and then you have to convince them and like show them that, see, it really happened. Oh, really? Well, okay. But when you say it to a Red Sox fan, like your team lost, Red Sox, yeah, of course. That's the difference right there. Gotcha. It's all about confidence.
Right? Gotcha.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
I got a question for Mike.
Yes, sir.
Mike, how's the porn situation going at home?
The porn situation fixed itself.
Oh, really?
It fixed itself automatically.
Ah, so you were able to once again order?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you exactly what happened. I didn't even order. I just let it happen. I said, okay, if you wanted to deprive me, I just exercised willpower. I was doing a little check over the weekend. Might have been Saturday morning, but I was doing a little checkaroo.
Yeah.
And apparently what that guy said was right. The guy said about the ceiling.
The limit.
They must have gotten my check.
So now you're free to order porn.
Yes, as much as I want. All I want.
Oh, and I have great news also. I don't have any Golden Boy music, but my wiener works again.
Well, hey, that's big news.
I never had any doubt about that, that's for sure. I had no doubt about that. That's a wiener that's not capable of being down for long.
Would not die.
Great wiener I have. It's a fantastic wiener. Put it to work on Easter Sunday morning with my child bride.
Very good.
The two of us hung over out of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You know when sex is so great, and my wife and I had really, really hot, great sex on Sunday morning at 5:30. Now, why Easter morning at 5:30?
Yeah, why?
Because we were so drunk on Saturday night, we went to sleep at 8 o'clock.
Mm. We woke up
passed out at 8 o'clock. Yeah, well, we started early in the afternoon.
That's funny. That's great.
By about 8 o'clock, it was, bedtime.
And then woke up at 5:30. Ready for bear.
Woke up and I said, look at this. Look at this.
The resurrection.
Look at this.
Had you been unable to...
Yes.
Right?
Really?
It was all the stuff they did to me. Huh. Look at this. Get the oil. Oh, get the oil. We're in business.
The oil. Get the frankincense.
Well, no, the oil. The, I don't like to wait for my wife.
Of course not. Of course not. You're romantic.
Get the lube.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't want to wait to prep her.
Right, right.
Especially after I've had, this amount of time.
Sure. I think you're within your rights on that.
I was ready.
Yeah. Says, look at it. Well, you can.
Get the oil.
Get the oil.
We didn't even brush our teeth or anything. Gnarly, nasty Easter Sunday sex.
Not a lot of kissing, though, during that.
No kissing at all. Yeah. No kissing at all. Her breath was so bad when we woke up on Sunday morning. We had the dog sleeping between us. The little dog, Max.
Was both of your breaths worse than the dog?
Yeah. And, well, Frida will tell you this. She leaned over and went, good morning, Max. And Max shook his head.
Did one of these little like,
repulse.
Oh, God.
God. She had bad breath.
So did I.
It was great. A great Easter Sunday. So
that's Easter.
That is an Easter miracle. You know, this goddamn machine, this machine number one, I'm going to rip it out and throw it on the ground.
No, don't do that.
I really am.
No. It's a good machine.
It's not a good machine.
Well, a lot of the time.
It's not a good machine. Every time I hit number one, it immediately recues and goes to cart machine number two.
But think of all the times it doesn't do that.
Yeah, but think of all the times it has done it.
Don't break a machine. It's Patriots Day.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Put on a happy face.
You give me just give me a couple more days. I'll break the machine.
I know you will. They're in the touch zone. Listen, let's clear these lines right now.
Okay.
Feeling so good. My wiener's working again.
That's good.
Oil it up. Mike's happy. Red Sox are in first place in April.
I don't think they're in first place. I don't think they're. I think Toronto. So we do all this talk about the Red Sox and the Yankees. I believe Toronto is in first place.
Oh, really? How insulting that is. Freaking Canadians.
I know.
It's not even their game.
Yeah, you know, all the talk about the Red Sox and the Yankees. And look who's in first place.
Chance for you to win $100 right now with the secret sound. Be the 100th caller. Call Lisa, 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Providing joy. Don and Mike.
Right. Remember, Secret Jesus Contest today. You listen to us at WJFK-FM. Go to Tyson's One. Tyson's Corner Shopping Center, number one, today between 5 and 6. Welcome to everybody that you see in the mall and say, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike. Find our secret Jesus, our tribute to Easter, win $100 on the spot. Good luck. And for those of you listening to us on WNEW in New York, tomorrow, Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City, right off the Meadowbrook Parkway. Same time. Between 5 and 6 p.m., walk up to everybody in the mall and say, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike.
If you find the secret Jesus, you will win a $100 bill.
Right? Start that today here. Do it in New York tomorrow. Let you know about the other cities in a day or two.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, as we celebrate Easter all week long. Hello? Hello?
Hello, caller 100.
Yes, you're right. What's your name?
Mike.
Mike, you've won... Well, let me say this. I don't want to say you've won a bad prize.
Okay.
You've won a prize that's better than the movie Joe Dirt.
Okay?
Okay. You've won a free pay-per-view of The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Woo-hoo!
Cox Cable System now on pay-per-view, and that is an awful movie.
Yes, one of the worst.
That's an awful movie, but enjoy it. It's a free pay-per-view. Where are you calling from?
South Riding.
South where?
South Riding, Virginia.
Gotcha. All right, you'll play for $500 right now with secret sound number three, a common everyday clicking sound.
Yes, it is.
Identify the sound, win the money. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Barney.
And we wish you Godspeed. Will it be Dirty Barney?
Sure, if you'd like.
Yeah, I love Dirty Barney.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
That's a good bit. We haven't done that bit for a long time.
Dirty Barney.
Dirty Barney. Dirty, filthy, stinking Barney. If you do win the money, it's courtesy Main Street Title.
I love effing you, you love me. Effing A.
Yeah.
To all my friends.
For $500, what is that sound? Come on, you got to guess.
I have no... freaking idea. Everyday sound, huh?
Why'd you call?
To try to win.
Because what, Rob?
Because he's a dick. That's why he called.
Oh, come dear. On. Oh,
how does he know me?
What?
Does he know me?
Do you know him, Rob?
No, I just have a feeling about this guy.
Well, come on. Thank you.
Come on, just guess.
I'm just going to guess the sound of the pen, the clicking of the pen top.
Replacing of a pen cap.
Right, that's wrong, but that's always...
It's a clicking sound, though.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, my friend.
Thank you very much.
He might be half a dick, Rob. I don't think he's a dick. I think his heart is pure.
All right, well, be that as it may, I don't care for it.
All right, thank you, my friend.
He might be a dick. He might be less.
Then he would be dickless.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Don't forget that every guess is a clue for you.
Yes, it is.
Bubba. Now, before I get this message from George McFly, which my wife has said, well, knock your socks off.
High drama.
He is such a new low. Hi, honey.
Well, hi, my boo-boo.
Hi, baby. So you heard the George McFly message. Obviously, you heard it before me.
Yes, it's sad.
Okay, so we'll listen to that in just a moment. It's very sad. How would you rate our Easter?
But you know what? I thought it was a good lesson for Bart because we got back from the beach and we're listening to the messages. And what I'm secretly saying with my eyes is, see, even though Daddy does okay, you don't want to be a disc jockey.
Yeah, well, listen, there's not a chance he wants to
be. See how sad it can be?
There's not a chance he wants to be a disc jockey.
But I think it's a good lesson to remind that there are two extremes. There's people who live in their cars and people...
Oh, don't give it away now, honey.
Okay.
You're giving away the best part of it.
All right. Okay, sir.
Yeah. I mean, he's really hit rock bottom this time.
Wow.
See if we can help him out. Easter. Okay, here's what I have for you for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
That... I didn't know, well, yeah, I did know. I did know that Easter, still in our house, is kind of a gift-giving
No, it wasn't thing. A gift thing. I saw something I thought you'd like, and I bought it.
And I saw something I thought you would like, and I bought it.
And blew it.
And incidentally, for our son Bart, there's no better gift that says, Happy Easter, the latest CD from the dead rapper, Tupac Shakur.
He's into rap.
Yeah, well, that's what he wanted, so we got him that. We got him the chocolate bunny. So, Frida got me a nice gift, and I thought I got her something that she would like. I went to one of those god-awful antique girl shops that she's dragged me into.
Mm-hmm. Antique girl shop.
And I spent...
The antique store?
Yeah. And I spent a while in there looking for something. And, you know, this is the thing that's a pisser, is that I really spent time on this. Now, it was nothing major. It's no life-changing gift. It was just a small little something. And I pull it out of the bag, and here's my mistake. I say to her, if you don't like it, we can return it. I pull it out of the bag, and as soon as I pull it out of the bag, first thing she says, return it.
Sugar Bear, if it was a scarf that I would tuck in a drawer, I would have spared your feelings. But it's something that big that hangs on the wall, and it was... I don't want to hurt your feelings now, but it wasn't... It didn't go with our decor, let's put it that way.
It is no...
Was it a suit of armor?
No, it is...
People will understand.
Honey, it is no different than some of the other junk that you have hanging on the wall.
Well, see, Boo, you know what? It's okay that you don't understand, because when I go to a cigar shop, I don't say, now what do I think you'd like? I have written down the brand you like and...
Listen, okay, let me explain this to you. I want to tell you what the gift was. First off, at our place at the beach at Ocean City, my wife has, like, hanging in our living room, this piece of ratty plywood.
No, it's a weathered board.
It's a ratty piece of plywood.
Well, is it driftwood?
Yeah, that says, Welcome to Ocean City. Somebody painted it on there. Uh-huh. And it looks like something that just happened to roll up on the beach, and she went to some store and paid an exorbitant amount of money for it. This thing is on the wall. She also has another piece of plywood in which some genius has painted, if you don't like the way the wind is taking you, change your sails.
A, that's not the way it goes, and B, I painted that.
All right, well, what does it say?
If you can't change the wind, change your sails, and that's how I stay married to you.
Okay.
So don't...
Regardless of what it is, we do have two pieces of plywood hanging in our home.
I like the way you call it plywood.
And they both have... driftwood.
Driftwood.
Yeah. And they both...
Plywood, though, sounds funnier.
And they both have something to do with the beach.
And you know what? You remind me of Grandma, because there's... In a planter I have out in the yard, there's a rusted ornament that's supposed to be aged and rusted, and it was a gift, and I'm assuming that it cost a little bit of money. I don't know. But Mom said to me this weekend, well, I'll get out my white paint and repaint that for you if you want. No, some things are supposed to show their age.
So you're trying to create a rustic environment at your beach house.
No, not with everything. Most things are new, but they're just a couple of little...
Rustic's cool.
She's got these things that are obviously weather-beaten, and I mean weather-beaten. They've been out in the elements, and they're hanging prominently in our home. So
I go to this store that I hate going into because they play loud opera music. And you walk in, they go, hello, how are you today? What, how may I serve you today? And they've got, you know, all this overpriced crap. And so what I see is like, it's like, you know, in the beginning of Gilligan's Island, when their faces would be in the middle of the life preserver that says SS Minnow on it?
Yeah, like a porthole or something like that?
Yeah, no, it was actually... It was
like a little life preserver?
A life preserver that has, like, rope going around it.
Yeah, right, right.
So, I got this life preserver that has the rope going around it, and it's got... And it's got a mirror in the middle of it.
It says the name of a town we don't live in, and it's very new and shiny and
like something you see at Chesapeake Bay Seafood House.
Yeah, very similar.
Right.
But keep in mind that this is, this is the motif of the place that we live at the beach.
He's got a nautical theme in the house.
I've been trying not to hurt your feelings, but I will hurt your feelings. And I don't say that everything you like, that the dopey football jerseys, that you have to have the latest one of a team that changes a single patch because some owner died at the age of 92 and now they've got a black star on their arm. But we have. I don't say they all look alike, but they do. But if that's what you like, I assume that, well, there must be some value that I am not educated.
What does this have to do with? Listen, okay, here's my point. When I get you something, and obviously I've put time and trouble into getting it, when I say to you, if you don't like it, you can return it, I'm not really saying return it. I'm saying if you don't like it, just put it in a closet somewhere.
I don't want it in a closet.
Why?
It's a waste of money. Why don't you just take it back?
I did take it back.
Why are your feelings hurt? My feelings wouldn't be hurt in the past when I bought you, that's not an authentic football jersey. That doesn't have the letters sewn onto it. You know, my feelings aren't hurt.
But I don't make you return them.
Quietly to myself and return it.
No, I have never made you return a gift. Never.
Yeah, but you don't wear it. I get more.
Yes, you know what I do to spare your feelings?
I never use.
To spare your feelings, I put... I put the lesser quality gifts that you get me. Like, I just put them in a box.
Yeah, and it doesn't spare my feelings when I never see you wear it. I mean, I know that, and you, it wouldn't spare your feelings if you saw it in the closet. If I just said, oh, thank you, and jammed it in the closet, that would spare your feelings. If you didn't see our porthole on the wall somewhere...
Was it
a porthole?
No, it's not a porthole. It is a life preserver.
Yeah, we lived at the Red Lobster. If you didn't see that on the wall.
But, honey, hold on. You know, before you start with the Red Lobster, the old Chesapeake Seafood House, do you or do you not have a piece of driftwood circa 1950 hanging on the wall that has got old cruddy paint on it that says, Welcome to Ocean City?
It is painted. An artist painted on that piece of driftwood.
An artist painted the town on that life preserver. It wasn't
there was no paint. All it said was Fenwick Island. There was no art on it. There was no painting. There was no painting of houses on it, on the piece of paper.
So if it was a life preserver that had a mirror in the middle of it, but they had painted houses on it, that would have been okay?
You know what? You are just tasteless and annoying. I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but you can. I don't critique how you decorate your little cave with pictures of Colonel Klink or whatever, or gold records or whatever dopey things you have on the wall there.
I would tell you something.
What?
You would learn a lesson to decorate our home the way that I've decorated the one room in the house that I'm allowed to decorate.
You know, in a couple of years when we have separate homes, this argument will be...
On the walls in my room in our house, it is a virtual who's who of B-list celebrities that I have autographed pictures from.
Tribute to pop culture.
Yes. Barry White, virtually everybody from Star Trek.
Right.
Batman, TV's Batman.
Your idea of art, darling.
Regis and Kathy Lee.
Is that picture of a McDonald's golden arch that you have on the wall there?
Now, that is art. That is Art Deco.
It's not Art Deco.
Yes, it is. It is retro art.
Art Deco was from the... when did McDonald's? Is it from 1950s?
Yes.
When's that from? Art Deco is from the 1920s. You don't even know what art is, my sugar bear.
I know what art is.
But you have no clue.
I know what art is. Don't tell me I don't know what art is. I got this picture, and it's a lithograph of, you know, the old-time McDonald's?
What's a lithograph?
It's a copy of a painting.
No, it's not.
What is it?
No, you research that.
Well, what is a lithograph?
It's not a copy of a painting. A copy of a painting is a copy of a painting. It's a picture. A copy of a painting is, you know,
a
zero.
Lithograph is a print.
A copy of the painting.
Yeah, in many cases it can be.
It is. In this case, it is. It's not the original painting that the dude made. It's
you have a numbered... never mind.
Honey, it's a lithograph.
All right, go ahead.
But it is numbered and signed by the artist.
I mean, I have stuff that where... Isn't a lithograph when they number it? You've got the you can get your original for like a gazillion dollars.
Or you can get a copy.
There's more to it than that. It's more to it than just they Xeroxed it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an actual right. process so, that they go through. It's a printing process that they go through in very detail to match the colors and to get it just
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but in a lot of ways...
Many prints can be very... There's some that are copies. There's some that look like crap, but then there's some...
But you know what I mean? I'm just talking everyday speak. It's a copy. I know what a lithograph is. It's a copy. It's not the real painting that the dude made. And it's simply the side of a McDonald's, like a 1950s McDonald's, with the red and white bricks, and you just see part of the Golden Arch. That's all. And it came in a red frame, and I thought, hey, you know what? That's... Oh, Mike, F you. Okay? I've been to your house. Okay?
It's just making me laugh of this particular... The particular thing you're talking about, it's funny. It's
right.
just funny. When you said the red frame... When you said the red frame, that made me laugh.
It has a red frame on it. And I find it artful.
Right.
And it's hanging in my room.
Yeah. All right, good. That is...
I know art. I'll tell you what else I got in my room in our house. I have a velvet painting of Elvis.
That's pop culture.
I also have a beautiful charcoal drawing of John Gotti.
That's right.
That Rob that Rob got me for my birthday one year.
And what do you mean you've been to my house? What is that supposed to mean? What is your point?
You don't live in the Taj Mahal.
I know I don't live in the Taj Mahal. I was just laughing about the McDonald's thing.
I don't know what I meant by that. It was just
Mike doesn't like your house. He doesn't like his own house. I mean, unless you've got Batman pictures all around your house, it's not decorated in his style.
I would say that the McDonald's thing, there's a chance that would be valuable, though, because that is pop culture.
And listen, I'll bring it in tomorrow and show it to you. Okay?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, it's been there for years.
Have you ever seen it, Buzz?
No, I don't think so.
It's underneath the face from the guy from Star Trek.
Is it signed and stuff like that?
Yes, it's signed and numbered by the artist.
There you go.
It's an actual piece of art. Okay? So I know. But anyway, listen, the whole point in all this is, regardless if you liked it or not.
So if I bring you in, get to you for your birthday or for Father's Day, a photograph of, say, Taco Bell and say, hey, you do your whole room like this. It looks good in here. Then I'll have my feelings hurt if you don't put it immediately on the wall.
I wouldn't have my feelings hurt if you just took... To be honest with you, I probably would have forgotten about the stupid thing. You know, a day later, I would have forgotten I even bought it for
you. Well, it's not my fault that you put so little thought into your gift that you forget about it a day later.
No. I put the thought into the gift when I went to get it for you. And when I gave it to you and I said, if you don't like it, you can return it, the polite thing to say would have been at that precise moment, as I was taking it out of the bag... You don't want to say to someone, immediately, return it. That's all I'm saying.
Pardon me for my honesty.
Okay. That's all. That's all about that.
And you know what? That was just like the apology we gave the Chinese, by the way.
Yeah, by the way.
By the way. So when I said, pardon me for my honesty, I don't mean it one little bit, in other words.
All right. Well, listen.
But that's still good enough. Okay, hurry.
Listen, it's fine with me.
All right, good.
I was just commenting on our Easter weekend. That's all.
All right, goodbye.
Wait, what? We get all pissed off for?
Huh?
Don't get all pissed off.
Because you make me mad. You called the stuff we have in the house junk.
Well,
you called the stuff that I like junk. You called the
Well, you called the stuff in my room junk.
Only after you said that about the things I had on the wall at our house.
Listen, do you understand that when I went and got this thing, I thought it was something that was keeping in line with the motif that you already have up?
Yeah, and what I'm saying to you, and what I was starting to say to you nicely, and I would have said to you nicely if you hadn't made me mad, was that just because it's not your thing, don't take offense. My thing is not. I'm talking about your interest.
I can't argue with you now. Mike is holding up his McDonald's bag. He's goofing on me now with his McDonald's bag.
Put it in a frame.
I can't help it. I was just looking at the colors, and they maintain the color scheme over the years.
Well, no, that has blue. Your McDonald's bag has blue in it. There's no blue in this picture I have.
Did you see this on the back of the McDonald's bag mounted?
Hi there.
Regis.
There you are. I'm sorry. I'll stay out of it.
Regis the whore. No, well, listen, I do love the fact that you're honest. It's just, you know, it was humbling. That's all.
I know. You're just one of those guys that thinks animation art sells or high art.
I do not. How many do I have?
I don't know.
One.
Yeah.
One.
All right.
One animation art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine art.
All I know is that you pull something out of a bag and you say, listen, I did get you something. Now, if you don't like it, you're going to return it. And as soon as it's halfway out of the bag, you say, return it. That's all.
Well, I didn't like it.
Okay, well, I know that. That's documented now. 6 million people know you didn't like it.
Well, move on.
All right, I'm moving on.
What else do you want?
I'm moving on. I do want to give you props about something.
What?
That I've never discussed on the air. Something from the beach house. Something you bought that's a fantastic thing. I know you didn't invent it, but you bought it.
I can't imagine what it would be.
It is the dual toilet paper roll holder that we have in our bathroom.
You mean where you exhaust one and another one pops down?
No, it's got two right next to each other.
Yeah, that's a marriage saver right there.
It's got two right next to each other because she's always screaming at me, of course, you know, how come you don't change the paper?
Right.
So what she did was she went out, she found one that has two rolls of toilet paper, both of them going down from the same, you know, like the swinging arms thing.
So really, if you play it the right way, you never really run out.
You never do run out because as long as eventually a woman uses the bathroom, it gets refilled.
So the woman, the average woman cannot stand seeing one of the two empty, so it will always be replaced. Whereas the guy, we'll just sit there and, you know, move right on to the fresh one.
That's right.
I like that.
But that's a beautiful invention.
Give me one of those.
That's a beautiful thing. But now that's a bit of decorating you've done that I approve of.
You know, we have in our upstairs bathroom.
What?
We have a tube. It almost looks like a hamper, but it's a little taller and it's narrower and it's green and it's got a lid on it. And inside, I would say we've got 60 rolls of toilet paper in there. Wow. And it's an arm's reach while you're sitting on the bowl to the toilet paper. I have never been in the upstairs bathroom
and run out.
It is, you know,
that's great.
Terrific.
Great invention.
Mm-hmm.
All right, honey. Well, that was it. I love you.
All right, I love you too.
Love you. Come on now.
What?
Come on.
What?
But after...
you do something nice, but then you ruin it.
What did I do that was nice?
You bought me a present, which was nice.
And how did I ruin it?
I bet you didn't even take it back.
I did.
No, I bet you stuffed it somewhere.
I did.
Hmm.
Huh.
All right. I'll be watching the bill to see if it ever made it back.
I know you will, Inspector Clouseau.
Okay.
I know.
All right, goodbye.
Because those are the things that make you happy.
What?
Spying.
Spying?
Spying. Going through the bills with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah. You are so fascinating to spy on, too.
Well, you enjoy doing it.
You don't do anything. What's there to spy on?
I know.
All right.
Okay, come on. Lighten up.
All right, goodbye.
Lighten up.
Well, I was light.
Okay. Well, be light again.
All right.
Be happy again. I won't talk about the dogs crapping all over your car.
Yeah, and thanks for handling that for me like you promised you would.
I did apologize for that.
For making me a promise and then totally forgetting about it.
Yes. Well, you know, when I got my wife this car about a month ago, I made a point of saying to her, now you know that you do the driving with the dogs.
Right.
That there, you know, there's always the chance. And she said, nah, they'll be fine. Well, I got the call over the weekend. Oh, my God. Max has diarrhea. It's all over the car.
Oh, you're tripping my car. God, he had diarrhea.
The two of them.
Oh, man.
They're eating the diarrhea.
Oh.
And they're rubbing it all over the back seat of the car.
It's a new car?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
New car
God.
Was all gone.
Oh, my God.
I had to talk her down off the ledge, and I said, and you're right, and this one I effed up on. I said, you know what? Sunday I'm going to go to Walmart, and I'm going to get you the same thing that I have with my car. I'm going to get you the little like emergency bag that has Armor All and has rags in it and
right.
disinfectant in it and spot remover.
And you said you promised.
I promised, and you're right. I didn't do it. I forgot.
And I was even at Walmart, and I didn't buy that stuff because my hero was going to take care of it for me.
Right. Well, all right, so I effed up
All right.
on that one.
Okay.
I told you I did.
Okay.
Okay.
Goodbye, sweetie.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Just something more to talk with all the other women about, I guess.
Oh, well, when you go out with the other wives?
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy.
You would never know that from my way of thinking,
uh-huh.
we had a great weekend.
Yeah.
It was just the thing with the gift was the one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, you know. But you guys handle that in a different way than a lot of other couples, the gift thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think you say that you both enjoy that, but I don't know whether it never sounds like you do. You do that honest thing. You do that honest thing.
That's bad.
I don't think you can with gifts. I don't think anybody can with gifts.
No.
I think when you give somebody a gift, if you don't like it, you just zip it.
And you
hide it away, or you just suffer. But art and stuff you put on the wall, I can relate to that. Because, I mean, it's difficult.
But it's something that she could have just shoved on a wall, like in a closet or something, if she didn't like it.
That's what, you know, I don't want to open up a whole can of worms here.
Why?
No, I mean, I have had disagreements over the years with my wife, and she's had disagreements with me where she likes a certain thing, like an art type of thing, and I don't, and that is usually the way we solve it. We kind of put it somewhere where the other person's not going to see it all the time.
Ah, well, no,
that's the way it works.
Not in our house.
At our house, we return it. But I don't think you like that honesty. You don't like
No,
that.
I don't. No, you're right, I don't. I would have liked to have been lied to. I love the fact that Frida is, without a doubt, the most honest person I've ever met in my life. But frankly, I think lying would help her out once in a while, would you?
Just a touch.
You know,
I think most marriages.
Don't always tell me what a dick you think I am. You know, sometimes lie to me. Tell me you think I'm a good guy.
Yes, please.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I'm glad you had a good weekend, but you're probably going to ruin it for the rest of the week. You're not going to be able to use your weenie.
Oh, with her?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll bang her hard tonight.
Yeah, right.
How much you want to bet?
Hold on. I don't know.
We'll get an honest answer.
You got to understand we're doing a show here, okay?
You're going to blow it. She gave you a chance and you're going to blow it.
No.
One
of us will be.
Caller's putting up $100. He'll shave his head.
Hello?
Hey, sweetie.
Yes, my darling.
Now, hold on. First of all, hey, you dum-dum on the phone. Did you hear that?
Yes.
You hear yes, my darling?
Yeah, that's because she knows she's on the radio.
Did you know you're on the radio, honey?
No, I had no idea. You do a show?
Listen, now, really, this conversation that we had today, and please be as honest as you were when I gave you the gift. The fact that we're having this discussion on the show today, would that crazy glue your legs together tonight?
No, darling.
See,
no.
That doesn't mean there's not a chance it could not happen.
Oh, there's always a chance it could not happen. I mean, something new could make me mad at him later on, but not over this.
But not over this.
There you go.
No.
All right.
See? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, genius. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, then call me during the commercial, darling. I'll tell you what I really think.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm only teasing.
I know you are. Okay.
All right. Goodbye, sweetie.
All right. Bye, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Everything is fine. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, Don, I was just wondering, do you have the dogs playing poker?
Oh, I got it. That's a good one. I'll tell you something. This room that I have in my house, it is a cool room. You'd die for this room.
No, the McDonald's thing sounds cool.
No, you'd die for it. You want to know what I got on the wall? I got personally autographed pictures from Colonel Klink, Jerry Springer,
right.
Barry White, Regis and Kathy Lee.
Right.
I got together. Yes, I got all of these B-list celebrity pictures on
that
the wall.
Regis and Kathy Lee together picture is a valuable.
Oh, yeah. That's an old one.
That sounds like the wall of shame to me.
That's an old one. No, that's a great wall.
Okay.
I've got a picture of, what was that kid who was on Star Trek?
Wesley Crusher.
Yes, Wesley Crusher.
Will Wheaton.
I got a picture from him where he wrote, "Dear Don, F you."
Right.
Because he got so mad that we called him so much on the show. I got great junk like that all over the place.
That's fun stuff.
And no dogs playing poker.
No, but I do have a picture of John Gotti.
And you got the Velvet Elvis.
And I do have the Velvet Elvis, which is a statement. And I do have
American.
And I do have the McDonald's thing.
I have never seen that. That's why I laughed the first time. When you mentioned the red frame.
It's probably the only thing in the whole room that if you were to look in the room, you would say, that is a piece of art.
Right.
That is something. That, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
You guys rock.
Oh, get out of here.
That'll save him.
Keep it up. Get out of here.
Goodbye.
F you.
Where do you keep it?
When you walk in, you got your big
it's
your like case of where you keep the Star Trek stuff on the left, the big all the cabinetry on the left.
It's on the wall behind the I don't have a couch anymore. I have a couple of just swivel chairs.
Okay.
To watch TV.
Director's chairs?
No. No, not like Buzz.
Right.
Not big captain's chairs.
Okay. All right.
And it's directly below the face of Odo from Deep
okay,
Space.
So it's kind of in that cabinetry. Then.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It's nice. I'll bring you a picture of it tomorrow. Maybe you'll hate it. Hello?
Hey, Don.
Noah.
Didn't you call Freda so we can hear the story or the message from some of the losers listening to this car now?
Yeah, I'll get to it.
All right. I just thought maybe you forgot.
No, I didn't forget.
No.
All right. I'll
you know, listen. As Dennis Miller says in Joe Dirt, we got 4 hours a day to film, my friend.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question before we break?
Yes.
This is not my weekend, but it's one thing that happened to me, and I'm curious about what people think about the etiquette of this move. When you're in a store and you're waiting in line, and it is a crowded store, and it's the only store that happens to be open on Easter Sunday, and you've got a bag full of stuff, and there's somebody standing in line in front of you, and you get into the little chute, when you're going into the cashier.
Grocery store?
It's a Kmart.
Okay,
I was in Kmart. It was the only store open on Easter Sunday. And there was a woman standing in front of me. And we get up and we're just about to go into the chute. And this woman calls her friend over with a full cart. That's taboo.
That
right?
is yeah. bad.
That's yeah. bad stuff,
that's
right?
Wrong. Did you call her on it?
I called her. Well, you can't do anything. I mean, you have the choice that you can say absolutely not. But, I mean, you have no power in that situation.
Right.
All I did was say, well, the woman was shocker. Not really. I don't believe that this was her country of origin.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And she said to me, sorry. And I said, no, you're not. I said, you're not sorry at all. And then, as soon as that happened, I made a switch over to the other cashier line because I saw it was going faster, and that's when the woman went into your firm road.
The woman in the new line that you went to went
yeah,
very
was
slowly.
Flying and then got into it. But I mean, I think that is a BS move of the highest order to sit there and wait, especially when people are sitting there with cartfuls of stuff. You know, I mean, that really just totally sucked.
I've done it recently. I don't know what store we were in, but I know I did.
Was it turbo crowded? I mean, was
yeah,
really?
No, and we were at Safeway, and I was in the 11 items or less line, and I already had like 15 things. And right as I got up, there's like 10 people behind me. I said to Frida, "Hey, come on, come on, come on, come on! Just cut behind me." Cut behind me, so really...
And you had 15 items?
I had 15.
And Frida had more?
Yeah.
Did she have items?
Yeah.
So, like, you went well over... Not only did you go over the 11 items or less...
Yes.
But you brought her in with even more items?
Yeah, to cut behind me. And I just said to the people, hi, this is my wife. And no one said anything to me.
Because you really can't.
No,
because of the question of the etiquette of that,
it's
an evil move.
Yes, it's a bad move.
I urge everybody not to do that.
Don't do that.
It's very, very bad. And then the lady looked at me, one of the two conspirators, looked at me when they were done and just grinned, and it was unspoken, even with the language barrier, it was unspoken that she had triumphed, and I could kill.
I urge you to do it.
To kill or to cut in?
No, to cut in. Because frankly, you're right. No one will say anything.
Said something, but I said, all I said was she said, sorry. And I said, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's not
mean. And then she, well, I didn't, you know
what? It was
probably
over her head.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you
what do you say? What can you really do? What can you do? Like force your cart into the back of the woman who's standing there with no merchandise, or just not allow her to get in here?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's...
You know, I suppose you could.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know what a store manager would say, because I'm sure they've had disputes like this. If you're in line and you've got a cart full of stuff and there's somebody standing in front of you in that line, are they allowed to bring a family member to cut in with a cartload of stuff? What is the definitive rule from a store manager?
I bet that it's different from store to store.
Probably.
But generally the manager would probably come over and just say to the other people, hey, how about cutting them some slack?
Right. Yeah. Because rude people get cut slack in this country of ours.
Yeah. Hello. The manager wants to avoid confrontation, and I, of all the times I've seen a manager called in to intervene, he always takes the path of least resistance. Whatever way he thinks will generate the least trouble, that's what he'll go with. If somebody's already cut in front of you, then that's the way he wants it to stay.
Yeah, that's great. That's why I urge you to keep do what I do. Cut into line. Get into the line with more than 11 items.
But I'll point out to you that you said that that's not the right thing to do. You said before you know that you did it.
I'm a walking contradiction. You're right. I have no idea.
There's no... I will tell you this. I don't think there's any recourse if you're the person that's that way.
No.
I don't think you can do anything. So
not unless you're a gun owner. Take the law into your own hands.
Oh, man, it pissed me off. Yeah. It really did. It was just one of these, you know, wide-eyed, oh, I'm so sorry. That's what killed me. The I'm sorry. You know, no, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not, you bitch.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
That felt good. We'll be back. We will do this George McFly thing.
Uh-huh. In his car.
Living in his car. But it's worse than that. The message is even worse than that from the way Frieden described it to me.
Really?
And like a million people on hold to talk to us. And the secret Jesus. All of that coming right up.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Have you seen my baseball?
Sorry. Hey, check it out.
Have you seen my baseball?
Hey, buddy, come here. I think I know where your ball is.
You seen my baseball?
Yeah, I see it. You see that girl over there? She has it. Except that she doesn't call it a baseball. She's got another name for it.
Have you seen my cleaner?
Working directly under Melvin and Sumner.
Right.
Don and Mike.
And it's a pleasure.
Every day.
Secret Jesus. Washington, D.C. today. We're moments away now between 5 and 6 p.m. Go to Tyson's One. Everybody you see in the mall, ask them. Don't ask them. Say to them, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike. Find our Secret Jesus. Win $100. It's that simple. If you listen to us every night on WNEW, here's your chance to win the money tomorrow between 5 and 6 p.m. Roosevelt Field Mall.
Roosevelt Field Mall, that's in Jersey.
Yes, North Garden City, right off the Meadowbrook Parkway. Tomorrow between 5 and 6, find the secret Jesus. Walk up to everybody you see in the mall, say, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike.
Right.
Win $100.
Wow.
Both winners will be instantly put in the air with us. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I was calling in regards to your Kmart incident.
Yes, yes.
I was in line to get tickets for your Don and Mike Show, the Sacramento show.
The Las Vegas-style show, right?
Yeah. Well, they had a couple ladies, and there was a lady in front of me, and she was letting a couple people up there, right? So, you know, a couple of us in the back were getting upset because we wanted to make sure we got our tickets, because they... Yeah, I'll do the first 25 or whatever. Well, after that, the guy comes up and says, oh, it's a lottery. He starts giving out tickets. So she gets upset. Well, one of the guys up front goes to the end of the line, gets another ticket. She thought that wasn't fair.
What? Okay, great story.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Didn't follow that. Did you follow that?
No.
No.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I've been trying to call for a couple weeks. When you all were on vacation on the best of, you replayed when you called the porn phone call in line and you were Mr. Rich. Do you remember that?
No.
And you talked about anal sex.
Well, every time.
You called like a 1-900 number and you got to like float messages through the air. basically, the moral of the story is I laugh so hard I wet myself at work. I'm a lawyer. I wet all over the place.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you.
Will you please do that again sometime?
You're in New York, remember, and we could put messages out, and then they could answer back to the voicemail.
Right.
Phenomenally great.
Yeah, we'll do that again.
Oh, my God, it was funny.
All right, well, I'm glad you were wet. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Hello there, Don and Mike.
You know, we can make a lawyer pee. We've done a good job on this show.
Hello?
Hello, Don.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, your McDonald's picture.
Yes.
It was most probably done by a local D.C. artist named Clay Huffman down in the Torpedo Factory.
That's where I bought it, at the Torpedo Factory. You're right.
He's done a lot of neat D.C. things like Whitlow's downtown and Whitey's over in Arlington. He passed away just about a month ago, so I'd hold on to that. His work,
there you go.
His work has appreciated in value over the years, and I suspect it probably just took a little bit of a jump. Secondly, try to find a Velvet Elvis these days. I own a restaurant in Arlington, and I've been looking for a Velvet Elvis to put over the jukebox for 6 years with no luck.
You can't find him. Graceland cracked down real hard about 6 years ago, so if you have one, hold on to it.
I got a beautiful one that's got like this big-ass mahogany frame around it.
That, I mean, that's, I've heard that they are very rare.
I have three of them, and I sold a great one in college. It was like 4 foot by 5 foot, and it was just his face, and I would give anything to have it back.
I bet it's more valuable.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, take care.
Thank you, my friend.
And the artist died, Don. You heard what every art collector wants to hear.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Great.
I'll pee on his grave. Maybe that'll finally be worth something. My McDonald's picture.
Well, we'll keep the deer away from the headstone.
Now. Okay, the George McFly. Let me do that because, you know, we still have not talked about The Sopranos.
No.
Helen, my cunt's brother, Helen, was on Bravo inside the actor's studio last night.
With a very pretentious interviewer?
And made me hate Helen Hunt.
Really?
I want to talk about that in a second.
She was talking about her craft.
Yes, also about some stuff, some behind-the-scenes stuff going on here at the Radio Ranch.
Hmm.
Very interesting stuff. But first, let me pull this message up from our machine. We were at my in-laws over the weekend up in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got a chance to listen to 96 Rock.
Hello.
Honey, I'm going to get the message.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
That's okay.
All right, goodbye.
All right, bye. That station just kicks my ass. 96 Rock, our station at Ocean City. Because virtually all they play is Van Halen, the album OU812.
Fantastic. The best, one of my favorite Van Halen albums.
Like every hour, they play another song from that album. There's like no quality control.
Good.
You know, because there's a rule in radio that says you should have artist separation.
But they don't, huh?
No, every time I got in the car, I'd be like, oh, hey, why can't this be love? That's a great one.
Fantastic, Van
and,
Halen.
Dreams. Anyway, so love being in Ocean City. We get back. Frida says, you got to hear this message from your friend George McFly. And radio listeners of this show will know that George has been a good friend of mine for a long time, worked with me and Mike.
Right.
Knows Buzz. We've helped him out of a couple of jams.
Yes, you have.
We've helped him get his last couple of gigs in radio.
True.
And the last I had heard, he had taken a morning job in Minneapolis, and he had dropped off the face of the earth. He no longer called me. So we received this message.
Sorry we missed your call. Leave a message at the beep. Thanks.
Okay.
He was a guy who was constantly soul-searching and looking for something better.
Have two messages.
Here we go. First message.
Two messages. Sunday, 12:45 p.m.
Okay, Easter Sunday.
Two. Hi, guys. George McFly calling. Happy Easter. Don, I'm calling. Say hi. And see how you're doing and catch up on things. I will try you back some other time. I'm using a hotel phone right now. I don't have a phone, so I don't have a home. Just seeing how you're doing, and that's it. Okay? Hopefully I catch you some other time. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting stuff happening in my life. I'll talk to you later. Thanks. Bart, what are you, about 18 now? Time goes pretty quick. Emma turned 8 yesterday, by the way. Down in Denver, just driving. Without me. Which is very odd, because, you know, it's kind of sick to think that they thrive without me.
That's his wife and his kid.
Yes, I'm in Minneapolis right now, and I'm out of work. My mom's got cancer, and I'm living out of my car. And the cops keep telling me to move every time I'm in a forest preserve.
Jesus.
The second I park somewhere, they come up and they make me move. Well, there's material for you, huh? But it's true. It is true. I'm going to try to make my way out to L.A. or San Francisco. Just trying to, I'm working at Zalo's starting Wednesday. It's a bar downtown Minneapolis where I'm going to ballet park people.
Oh my God.
So, a lot of pain. Just very, very humbled by life. But still got my health and my nutty behavior. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Maybe you'll probably want me to call the show now with this, huh? It's a headache. Can you give me a job doing anything in any capacity? Can I clean your house? Let me know. Sorry for the verbosity. Bye, guys. Love you.
Wow. Now, that's the first time I've heard that message.
Wow.
Very subdued.
Jesus.
Happy Easter.
Mm.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
I thought when he said hotel that he might have been in a hotel, but I guess, is he ducking into a hotel?
That's what it sounded
like. Is he really living out of his car?
That's all we know. I mean, what you just heard, and I heard it with you for the first time. I mean, Frida said to me, you're going to be...
He's separated from his family, right?
Yes.
He separated from his wife. He went to Minneapolis because he had the gig in Denver that he just wasn't... He's never happy.
Right. I mean, he was... You know, the last time we had him on the air, he was... making like $100,000 a year, doing a 3-hour shift in Denver.
Right.
And he was unhappy, and he was doing stuff like coming to work naked and playing his guitar when he should have been playing the records in the end.
And his wife, I guess, got fed up with, you know, him never being satisfied.
Right. So she stayed behind in Denver, and he went to Minneapolis, where he had a morning gig at what I think is a legendary station, KSTP-FM, KS95, working for Chuck Knapp.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last I had heard from George McFly. That he called me, of course, ecstatic the day he got the job.
Right.
Like, hey, this is the best gig I've ever had. They're going to let me do anything I want to do.
Right.
This is where I'm going to live the rest of my life. I got to get Joan to come up here because I love Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes. This is great. I'll call you soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't hear a word until that message.
Wow. You get calls from him when he gets the gig and calls when the gig starts to go sour. Not necessarily when he loses the gig, but when he starts to get in trouble or he starts to get antsy.
I mean, he's really a talented guy. He really is. And I wouldn't mind putting my neck on the line for him again to help him get another gig in radio. He certainly is talented, and there's a lack of talent in radio. But I've got to find out how he went from doing mornings at KS95 to living in his car and getting a job as a valet parker.
Well, I mean, he obviously had a radio gig, and now he's out of the radio gig. It sounded like it happened rather quickly.
Yeah, but you know, there's a grapevine, though, in radio. I mean, you don't just... Well, one day you just don't say, okay, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to park cars for a living now.
Yeah, and I was confused by the fact that he said he's going to do... You know, he also, you have to take everything he says with a grain of salt a little bit. I mean, he obviously knows that if he calls you and, you know, gives you all that valet parking stuff, but then he said something about going out to L.A. So perhaps he is doing some networking because he's got connections in L.A.
Yeah, he does. He used to work at Power 106 in L.A. I don't know. And that's a weird, troubling call from a very
Easter Sunday. You know, it's not a good time to get a call like that.
Very talented guy. I mean, a guy not as a fruitcake,
right?
But really, goddamn talented.
Nice, good-hearted.
Yes. Jesus Christ, he's crazy though.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hold on, where's the guy in Spokane? Hello.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hold on a second. I keep going to the wrong line. Hello, Scott.
Don and Mike.
Right.
How's it going, guys?
I
got a question.
Yeah.
Didn't the last time when McFly called you, wasn't he on a radio station here in Spokane?
Yes, and you remember he got fired because he decided to protest the fact that some local weathercaster got fired.
Adams, that's right. Okay, I'm
do you remember when he...
There, but he I didn't remember how he got from Spokane to Minneapolis. So I'm sorry, guys.
He took his family's car,
right,
and he spray-painted on the side of the car. He was mad that some local weatherman got fired.
Yeah. It's hard to understand with him where the reality of his insanity begins and where the shtick begins, because he does stuff that's self-destructive, but yet I've always felt it to be a little bit like he's got it in control, and it's kind of, he's crazy as a fox. I mean, yeah. but then he does something
but no,
like
but then
this.
He goes all the way with it. What I mean, like, when this local weatherman got fired, he took his family car. The only mode of transportation his wife and his daughter had to get around, he had to take his daughter to school in this car, and he painted the car with spray paint. Why did Channel 5 or whatever channel it was fire this weatherman, who, incidentally, he didn't even know?
Right.
And then you remember he took it to the next level when he wore his army fatigues and refused to go and do his radio show when he was camping out, sitting Indian style, on the hood of his car to try to get the TV station to hire back the weatherman who had been fired, who he didn't know.
And then they fired him at the radio station.
And I remember asking him off the radio, why did you do that? And he said, for publicity.
So kind of a misguided attempt to get ratings.
Yeah, but then he goes all the way with it.
Right.
Which, on one hand, is a sign of, you know, someone who's got a great future in radio, a guy who's willing to do just about anything, but I don't know. Then you know, I'd also lectured him. I tried to advise him that his wife and his daughter should be the things that matter the most to him. And he had that job in Denver. He's making good money.
That was the last job that he said that he, you know, this is great. Things are going great. And then, like, a month later, he
went to Spokane.
Right.
Because he got fired in Denver because he was walking around the station naked.
Right.
And then he went to Spokane.
Because they told him not to do the show with his shirt off. And he responded to that by walking in and doing the show naked.
Yeah. Right. And, like, they got some sexual harassment complaints, of course, from women who work at the station.
Right.
So then he went to Spokane, and originally it was, this is my radio station. They're going to give me all the freedom I need. Then he did this thing with a weatherman, got fired.
He didn't leave you a number, did he?
No.
He has no number.
I have no way of getting in touch with him now.
Right.
So, you know, if there's anybody in radio that wants to hire a decent disc jockey, he's a flake. But he's a real good disc jockey. Leave your number. And whenever George McFly calls back, we'll try to hook you up.
That sounded a little darker than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it did.
But he's had those periods, too, where he's, you know, what's not funny is the fact that he abandoned his family, basically. You know, I mean, that's what sucks. Or she kicked him out, either or. I mean, it's a shame, because I remember there was a time when he was saying that's the only thing that's keeping him on the ground, and now he's got an 8-year-old kid and a wife, I guess, that's still in Denver.
That what did he say? He said that they're doing fine. You know, I got to
hear. Thriving. Bro, they're thriving.
I got to hear it. I just got to hear it one more time. And I should have listened to it before we came on the air.
So I remember you telling him one time, he said the priority, no matter what, should be your wife and your child.
Your family.
And that, he obviously didn't get that.
He felt badly about pulling the kids out of school and dragging his family all over the country. It sounds like either she decided or they mutually decided it was time to stop dragging.
Yeah. Christ, what a mess. And he's valet parking cars.
Oof.
Hello. Sorry we missed your call. Leave a message at the beep. Thanks.
Yeah, hold on. You have line two messages.
Okay. Let's hear it again. Analyze this now. Easter Sunday.
Two messages. Sunday, 12:45 p.m. Line two.
Hi, guys. George McFly calling. Happy Easter. Don, I'm calling to say hi. And see how you're doing and catch up on things. I will try you back some other time. I'm using a hotel phone right now. I don't have a phone, so I don't have a home. Just seeing how you're doing, and that's it. Okay? Hopefully I catch you some other time. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting stuff happening in my life. I'll talk to you later. Thanks. Bart, what are you, about 18 now? I'm going pretty quick.
See, this is where he starts to ramble.
I turned 8 yesterday, by the way. Down in Denver, they're driving without me, which is very odd because, you know, it's kind of sick to think that they thrive without me. Yet, I'm in Minneapolis right now, and I'm out of work. My mom's got cancer, and I'm living out of my car. And the cops keep telling me to move every time I'm in a forest preserve. The second I park somewhere, they come up and they make me move. Well, there's some material for you, huh? But it's true. It is true. I'm going to try to make my way out to L.A. or San Francisco.
mistake.
I'm working at Zalo's starting Wednesday. It's a bar downtown Minneapolis where I'm going to ballet park people. So, a lot of pain. Just very, very humbled by life. But still got my health and my nutty behavior. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Maybe you'll probably want me to call the show now with this, huh? It's pathetic. Can you give me a job doing anything in any capacity? Can I clean your house? Let me know. Sorry for the verbosity. Bye, guys. Love you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I will try to help him.
Good.
Because he is a good guy. But Jesus Christ, that is a weird message, isn't it?
That's a message from somebody who wanted really you to be at home. I mean, that was somebody who wanted to, you know, obviously thinking he'd catch you on Easter Sunday that, you know, you'd be home and he'd probably, you know, I know that, you know, that sound when you know, you just don't want to talk to the machine. You want to talk to another person. That's a shame.
That's sad. He's a good guy. He's a good friend.
You know what I think the best thing for him would be, really, it sounds to me like if he would get back together with his wife. We like her an awful lot, and you know, and she's,
that's the message I try to pound.
She's put up with an awful lot of crap from him over the years.
I swear to God. Well, you know,
and I remember when you were doing it. I remember you were sitting there off air when you were talking to him about that. And the problem is, he doesn't listen.
He always thinks that there's going to be a better job down the road, and he's right. You know, there are better jobs down the road. You know, Mike and I get offered better jobs all the time, but we don't leave.
Yeah, and you know, it's called family.
Yeah, you don't pull your kids out of school. You stay. You just, well, here's a mental health professional. Emily.
Hi, guys.
Are you really a mental health professional?
I'm a mental health professional.
Really? What is your title?
Well, I'm a clinical case manager, to be specific, with chronically mentally ill adults.
Uh-huh.
I've got a diagnosis for this guy.
Of George? Now, have you heard him on the show previous to that call?
You know, not so much. Just here and there. The name is familiar.
All right.
But I don't know the whole story in detail, so.
Okay.
But just listening to that message, that guy is so depressed. He's really depressed.
Well, he's either always been really depressed or really happy. There's never been a middle ground with him the whole time we've known him, over 10 years.
Has he ever taken medications for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
He needs some right now. Ordering maybe like, tell the stories that you were saying about some of the weird behavior, like maybe some psychotic features going on. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, the fact that he's nutty has always made him, I think, a good disc jockey.
Mm-hmm. Well, psychotic can be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, so your recommendation would be what? To load him up on Prozac?
A little bit of Prozac. Maybe a little Zyprexa, which is an antipsychotic. Yeah, he needs some balance back in his life.
You're not a psychiatrist, though, right?
Not a psychiatrist.
Right.
But
all
I
right.
see one on TV.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Melton. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Those are the people that should be throwing out the medications, you know, and all that.
And
yeah,
they do.
You should be a say. Yes, they do, Buzz.
Yes, they do.
Man, I tell you, you know, if you're going to get back into the stock market, get one of those drug companies.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to have you around a long time.
Imagine that. She hears one phone call, and immediately she's ready to start writing the prescriptions.
You know what bothers me, really? And I know it's, you know, he's crazy. He's, but man, it's disturbing that you get that call on a holiday. I mean, I know the guy from when I worked with him, and he always had that craziness was always I kind of a joyful craziness. And calling on a holiday, if what he says is true about his mom, it just, I mean, that's bad stuff, and I don't like that to happen to anybody, and I, you know, but unfortunately, you make your own bed, and you know, when you're talking about the family, take the radio thing out of the equation completely. The bottom line is, you know, it sounds to me like a guy that needs people around him who care about him, and he tends to, I guess, push people like that away.
No, I'll help him. If he calls back, gives me a phone number, you know, because I didn't catch the name of the place in Minneapolis where he'll be valet parking cars this week. Jesus Christ. Yeah. There's like 50 radio stations in Minneapolis.
You'll make one of your calls where you talk to somebody you know in the business and say, yeah, he's great. He's a very talented guy. Where did he work last? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, right.
Because you like to low-key with his track record.
Yeah. What am I going to say? He was valet parking cars while he was living in his car.
Man, oh, man.
All right. Well, that's the latest on George McFly.
Right.
But there is someone in the radio business who's feeling worse than George McFly.
Possible.
He works in this building.
Really?
I won't say his name. I will simply read you an ad that was in the Washington Post classified section.
In the Washington Post?
Yes.
Okay.
Under R, radio.
Uh-huh.
Operations director, WJFK FM, Washington, D.C., seeks operations director to oversee the execution of talk programming. Experience required as a radio ops director, program director, executive producer with talk station, or a station with high-profile morning show. Experience with managing staff, organization, administration, working with the station departments, including legal and FCC compliance, able to set priorities and work tirelessly. Mail resume, too. Alan Line 1, general manager, WJFK FM.
Hmm. So that's what they're doing, huh?
Jim McClure?
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
Oh, God. Who put that up on the... I know you didn't. Who put that up on... Somebody found it and... Yeah, the radio stations are great, man. Mm-hmm. Somebody finds that and puts that up on the little plexiglass.
Right. It was right in front of me today when I came to do the show.
Wow.
Jim McClure?
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
Okay. Oh, God.
So as bad as George feels today...
In the local paper.
In the Washington Post.
In the local paper.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure...
Not even in one of the blind ads they put in a trade public.
I'm sure it's an EEO thing, right?
The law.
But the good news is that Jim can drive both stick and automatic, so he can park cars.
Oh, God.
So, we all wish him well.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Jeez.
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
And then somebody brings it into the studio.
Post it on the board.
This is a funny place, man. This is a funny place.
Yeah, but who's worse, the person who posted it on the board or me for reading it on the radio?
I suspect, don't you think he had a sense that was coming, that, you know, that was going to happen?
Yeah, sure, of course, I think so.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe not.
Doesn't make it a lot easier, but a little.
Can't hurt.
Oh, boy.
Want to call him?
Sure. Why not? Find out if he knows anything. Probably talk to him.
Maybe not.
And Jimmy's got balls. He'll talk to us. Maybe not.
I mean, it's in the newspaper. The classified section of the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm. Is he here?
I saw him today.
Choosing not to answer his phone.
Hi, it's Jim McClure. I can take a call at the sound of the tone. Please leave your name, telephone number, and the time of your call, and I'll call you right back.
I'll record your message at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or stay on the line for further options.
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
Oh, God.
Thank you. If you'd like to add to your message, enter 1. To listen to it, 2. To...
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
Thank you. If you'd like to add to your message, enter 1.
No.
To listen to it, 2. No. To re-record, enter pound.
No. I don't send it with urgency.
Thank you. Your message has been sent.
Nope,
if you need further assistance, enter pound now.
No.
Thank you, and goodbye.
I guess that's
goodbye.
It. All right. Well, see, radio is a very humbling, very humiliating freaking business to be in.
It is indeed.
Makes guys live in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
Makes guys who have big, high-powered jobs have their job put up for grabs in the Washington Post.
That is something else.
Right.
Sitting here on your little podium or whatever the hell that thing's
right,
called.
Right, it's just a piece of plexiglass.
What do you call that, Rob? What can I have no words. What is that?
I've always called it a sneeze guard, but I think it's a copy stand.
Yeah, it was.
On your copy stand.
Take to the copy stand
where I put my notes.
Is that ad right out of the Post?
That's right. God damn. What a business.
Major.
Show business.
There's no business. Jesus.
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
All right. Goodbye.
Wow.
Bring in the new meat. We got a break. Yeah. Oh, man.
Jesus.
We'll be right back. You know, the day we worry is the day they put the ad in the newspaper saying, need this jockey team for 3 to 7 p.m.
Well, you know, we give many apples. We got to keep those ratings up every day.
We'll be right back.
Number 1, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Please join Don and Mike for a beautiful weekend of Las Vegas style shows. For the first time ever, the Don and Mike Las Vegas style show does a two-nighter out west. It's at Paul Quinn College.
No, Barry, it's in Sacramento.
God damn it. I'm cutting the f***ing spot, Tony. Let's try this here again, one more time. Friday, April 27th at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater at 8 p.m. And on Saturday, the 28th, the very next night, they perform in Reno, of course, at the beautiful Silver Legacy Resort Casino City Center Pavilion. It will be one hell of a sexy time. And ladies are always welcome. Stay tuned to your local Don and Mike Love Network affiliate station to find out how to get your tickets now.
Barry, that was great.
Fuck this shit, Tony. I don't need this bullshit.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Right, right. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. Right, right. Oh, listen, we are right in the middle of Secret Jesus as we continue to celebrate Easter. Right now.
Right.
If you're listening to us on WJFK FM in Washington, D.C., you should go to Tyson's Corner 1. Don't go to Tyson's 2.
Tyson's 1.
Go to the original Tyson's Corner Shopping Center. Now, I know it's a gigantic shopping center, and even at this hour of the day, it's jam-packed. But somewhere in that mall is our secret Jesus, wandering the hallways, perhaps in a store, perhaps behind the counter. You never know.
Or maybe
just sitting reading a newspaper, window shopping, standing in line at Starbucks. For the next hour, walk up to everybody you see in Tyson's One and say, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike.
If you find the secret Jesus, there'll be a payday for you.
$100 in cash.
Wow.
Same thing tomorrow with the tri-state area. Tomorrow afternoon, for those of you who listen to us on WNEW, tomorrow between 5 and 6, go to Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City. Between 5 and 6, walk up to everybody you see in the mall and say, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike. And the WNEW Secret Jesus will immediately reward you with a $100 bill and a call to be on the show.
Good luck, Jesus hunters.
We've just talked to our Secret Jesus at Tyson's Corner, and he, she, it,
yes,
is in a public place right now.
Wow.
Okay. Might be getting a Cinnabon.
Might be getting a shirt.
Might be masturbating in the public men's room.
God, I hope not.
Could be doing well.
We might lose our secret Jesus.
Well, you know who the secret Jesus is.
Yeah, I guess.
There's a chance. There's a chance. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Don, how are you today?
Hi, we're great, Tom.
Hey, I just want to give you an update.
What?
The lead story was not the taxes on Channel 4. It happened to be the shooting from last year at the National Zoo.
I don't know. The lead story on the taxes won't be till the 11 o'clock.
Oh, my mistake. But they did. They were about four stories into it, and there was an individual on there that never seen before. So she was the low person on the totem pole.
Excellent. And Rob tonight, really, will you run on all the DC stations and also... Do you get the New York station?
No, I don't. You guys do.
Then we'll run tape on Channel 4 in New York, so we can compare that also to see their coverage.
Just for your information, Sarah Lee was the reporter. Never heard of her.
Sarah Lee.
Never heard of her.
Sarah Lee.
All right.
And she was a pie face.
Of course she was.
Yes.
A pie face?
Yeah.
You know, big round.
Oh, a round face.
Big round face.
Yes, sir.
Sarah Lee.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, speaking of that DirecTV, it just would seem to me that when the Red Sox play the Yankees, that perhaps we could get one game on the dish, you know, over the weekend. I had to wait till Monday.
You know what I'm sure they would tell you?
What's that?
You could get it if you paid for it.
Sure.
Really?
If you paid for the whole, whatever the goddamn thing is, the whole...
Major League extra innings?
Yeah,
you
do.
Oh.
Well, then it's impossible that you were not able to get that game.
Yeah, all three games, they weren't on. They weren't on.
That doesn't make sense.
It does make sense when you scoured the dish like I did, and the only place I could find it, especially, I guess it was Sunday's game, the only place I could find it was on that station in New York.
Fox Channel 5.
Because that's a local station, and it's a local feed, and they don't put that on the net.
Yeah, you're probably right about
that.
And it
sucked, and I was angry. I was so angry.
Well, that sucks if you pay to get every single baseball game.
You don't get every... You pay, but you do not get... They make it very clear. You don't get every single baseball game. And, you know, there are all sorts of rights with, you know, who controls what and what local station. There are all sorts of little deals there where you get blacked out. And it's terrible. I mean, I wish you could buy one service for Major League extra innings and get all the games. But you don't. They black out certain games.
I'm sorry about that, Mike.
Perhaps in the future, someone will hear that the Golden Boy does have a problem.
Will you share with everybody that the Golden Boy was very disappointed this weekend?
Yes. GB.
Yes.
P.O.'s. Could not watch.
Couldn't watch my baseball games.
B.O.R.S.
Right.
Against N.Y. Mm-hmm. Y.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike. Don't forget that George McFly always holds out hope in the pit of his heart that he'll work out a spot somewhere in the show for him to be a part of the show. I think he has secret dreams that maybe old man Burbank
You know what? That's something that George and I went through off the air about 2 years ago, where I really said to him, listen, I love you. I'd give you a recommendation anywhere. I'll call any of my friends in radio to get your job. Mm-hmm. But no way. Mm-hmm. No way. He knows that. Trust me.
I think he's hoping that maybe Mike would, have acute alcohol poisoning.
You know, I'll tell you right now, if I had the fatal heart attack, Dom wouldn't go with George.
It wouldn't happen.
I could be dead and gone. It wouldn't happen. I don't doubt he'd get somebody else in here, but I just don't think it would be George McFly.
It wouldn't happen.
Gotcha.
I love George. He's a great talent, but
I don't think he's the kind of talent that you would handle on a day-to-day basis.
I couldn't stand him.
I think you might actually stab him through the heart by the end of the first 2 days.
Liability.
What?
His liability is a little too high, or he's just a...
He's a nut.
He's a little manic,
gotcha.
Right?
He's freaking nuts.
Gotcha.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You know what he wanted, though? He wanted to come in here and work with both of us. He wanted to come in here and
take the third scene in here.
And that was a frightening thought fortunately for both of us.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, that would be, I think, like, for a day, it would be hysterical.
Oh, I think for a day we'd get an ice cream headache.
I think you're right. I think for an hour we'd get
an hour it might be funny.
Yeah, it's funny. I like him on the phone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
For a half hour.
The Hot Network.
What did he say?
The Hot Network.
Now playing Geronimo's...
Now playing what?
Geronimo's Girls.
Oh.
Frida.
Right. That's how it was. It must be one hell of a movie this guy's got. This girl's screaming her head off.
I don't enjoy this on the dirty movies. Do you?
No. I hate it.
You mute the sound?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's phony.
It is.
It's very phony.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a little moaning.
I like a little moaning. I do not like that.
And I like the dirty talk.
I like the dirty talk.
But I don't like the sound that if you didn't know it was a porno, you might think you're watching like a Freddy Krueger movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very disturbing.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you guys doing today?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Listen, I got a tragic tale for you from Sacramento here.
All right.
Tragic tale.
Tragic tale. The KHTK had one of their wonderful ticket drops on Saturday morning. And they had the whole advertisement that the first 25 tickets will be VIP passes and all that stuff. Right. And then without saying anything, they switched to a lottery system. Not a big deal if you didn't wait 4 hours for tickets. And
get ready, boys. It's going to be two solid weeks of this.
You know,
here was the tragic part. I can live with switching to a lottery system. I can switch. I can deal with that. My heart can handle that. But some drunk guy literally just walks across the street because he sees a line of people. He goes, what's going on? We're trying to get this guy to go away saying, oh, we're giving away tickets to a Yanni concert. You know, anything to get this guy to walk away. And he gets a number for the raffle. And sure enough, he wins the very first set of VIP.
Okay, listen. Here's what I'm going to recommend to our Sacramento affiliate, KHTK. We're going out there in 2 weeks. We're going to be in this place, the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater.
And I still don't understand why they have to call it the Amphitheater.
It seats 17,500 people. Don't dick people around by giving 25 tickets at a time and doing a goddamn lottery.
Amen.
No. Just, the tickets were, they had the regular tickets. I got 4 tickets for the show. That wasn't the big deal, but it was the VIP tickets that they give this guy.
Can I tell you something? Okay, now let me blow another fallacy. You know what a VIP ticket gets you?
about 10 feet closer to the stage than you would be.
Again, it wouldn't have been a big deal if I just they hadn't, you know, done this whole thing and had some drunk guy just walk up. And I'm just surprised that the clonies who were handing out the tickets didn't just, like, grab a pair of regular tickets and say, oh, here you go, now go away.
All
but
right,
they just, they gave him a pair of VIP tickets. The guy had no idea what he was there for. He could have been there for Martha Stewart's living.
And
who knew?
KHTK, please don't do this whole thing with VIP tickets. I mean,
they're doing it.
It's first come, first serve. If you got a ticket and you get there early, you're going to be in the front row.
Well, I just had to spin my tragic tale.
And I doubt that's going to happen. I mean, I really think that's the one thing that a lot of these radio stations do. They have their little sections. That's one of the things
they
do. Well, they've done it at every live show we've ever
had. They should just have one section, though, up front, just for people who don't want to stand in line at a gas and go,
like Madonna says, no industry people on the front row.
Yeah, and
I can't imagine KHTK would go against our wishes.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that the people of Sacramento would complain.
Hard to believe.
Both things to me are foreign concepts.
Never happened before.
And absolutely. I don't think we've ever had KHTK F with the show, and I think we've never had a complaint call from Sacramento.
I love Don and Don on Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's happening?
Hey, buddy.
Rob.
Hey, called the bus balls a little bit, if I may.
Oh, sure. About what?
Just a quick thing about this the Secret Jesus contest.
Yeah.
I live in Tyson's Corner. That's a huge mall, and I was just wondering if you think someone's really going to find that guy within an hour's time.
Yep. Yes.
Are you guys trying to get any clues out or anything?
No. Why should we give a clue? It's a huge mall.
Right.
But if you work your way, level one, level two, level three, you'll find the secret Jesus.
By talking to him, I mean, is he going to stick out?
Correct. If you talk to, the way I would handle it is first go level one, level two, level three. Every person that you see walking in the mall, say it to them.
I mean, I know you guys probably have somebody there that might stick out, but you could have Jack Pesci there, and, like, it wouldn't even dawn on me to talk to him, you know?
We're not gonna fall into the Joe Mama thing.
What do you mean?
Do you think that is so poorly done? I mean, normally when somebody wants us to say Joe for Joe Mama, they do it a lot better than you just did it. That was horrible, even though it had been a long time. And you know, sometimes we slip into it after it's been a long time.
Well, yeah,
but you did it.
Had a good lead in.
No, it was awful. Have you ever done it before?
Never. This is the first time I've gotten
miserable
awful,
effort.
Awful.
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
guys.
Goodbye.
Get out of here.
Why don't you take your love and shove it up your big fat ass? You know you're the reason we're true.
Jack Pesci.
I've got all the yelling and the fights that we had. It won't be cold to you.
You are the weak thing.
Moan and you groan and you bitch and you whine. You make every beef we got.
Just wanted us to say no, it's Joe Pesci.
I'm telling you, baby, I'm through with you. Take your love, shove it up your big fat ass.
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Step ahead of him.
There you are. Shales didn't like that show.
Hated it.
Well, Tom Shales is not perfect. You know what I mean? Hello, Don and Mike show. Not everything he writes is the gospel truth.
Hello.
I like this review.
Hey, Don and Mike.
I like this review of it.
I like the fact that the lady's supposed to be a mean bitch. I'm all for it.
You are not the weakest link.
You are the weakest link.
I'm sorry.
Goodbye.
You're not the weakest. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Tells people that they're stupid and stuff.
You are a moron. Go away.
And then you see one big hairy guy get up there and just start strangling her.
That's fine with me. Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I was going back. I heard Mike say something about the amphitheater.
Yeah, I don't get it. But why do they call it? Why don't they just call it an amphitheater?
I think that's what it is called. That's what I know it as.
No, it's spelled that way. I mean, that's what the card says.
No, and we have been told to pronounce it. It is AMPILTHEATER.
Amphil.
Okay. I just wanted to let
Amphil
you know.
Amphil theater?
IL or LI?
Yeah, that's an outdoor amphitheater. It's going to be an outdoor thing at night.
Ample theater.
Maybe it's not theater. Whatever they're calling it.
Really? IL. And it'd be ample theater, which I've never heard of before.
Well, yeah, you know, totally well, what is that? The misprint on your card?
There's a chance that it's misprinted because Broyhill wrote it out for me.
What is it? Amphitheater?
No, I know they gave me phonetically.
Amphitheater.
Phonetically, they spelled it out amphitheater.
Amphitheater. Why is it called the amphitheater when All those other places are called amphitheaters.
I've heard it's called the amphitheater. I don't know where that
amphitheater.
Mm-hmm. All right, how
we have to find out once and for all.
How much you want to bet? I mean, the people from the station, you on the phone there, the people from the station,
well, then maybe this is my mistake, I'm trusting them.
No, they got it right, you know they did.
So they're saying it. Can I see the card? How are they saying
it? It's spelled incorrectly on the card.
So it's, but it's supposed to be
amphitheater.
Amplification.
Amphitheater.
It has something to do with a huge sound system in there.
You know what? Goodbye.
All those big outdoor theaters are amphitheaters.
Hold on.
I think amphitheater means that it has sort of.
Has there ever been an amphitheater that you've ever heard of?
No. But I think an amphitheater means it has like a shell behind it.
Right, exactly. Like a speaker.
Right.
Like a Merriweather Post in Nissan Pavilion.
No, not like that.
Really?
Because, like, I think of like a
Hollywood Bowl.
Okay. Exactly.
All right. I'm just going to call directory assistance and see if they have amphitheater or amphitheater. And we'll get the number. We'll call the goddamn place and see how to pronounce it.
We heading for Reno right after the show?
No.
Just kidding.
I know you are.
That's not.
Listen, GB. Sacramento?
What, listen?
Sacramento Valley Amphitheater.
One moment.
Toot sweet, please. You're on the radio.
Toot sweet. Oh, come on.
We're listening for Sacramento Valley Amphitheater. Would you like another?
No, honey. Amphitheater.
Amphitheater. There's no listing.
Sacramento Valley Amphitheater.
No listing.
Yes, there is.
Can you check the surrounding areas? Dollface?
Sure. One moment.
Thanks, sweetie.
Thank you, baby. You're on the air at the Don and Mike Show on KHTK Sacramento. Time to find out what it's pronounced right now. Amphitheater. Amphitheater.
Ampha.
Oh, fearless,
sir. Ah, you found it, huh?
Thank you. The number is...
Thank you, sweet thing.
Area code 916-721-7895.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, now, you'll probably have a recording.
Recording! Tell us exactly how to pronounce it.
I haven't found ours, of course, but I find a lot of listings for amphitheater on the internet.
Oh, good, okay.
So,
okay, hold on.
To some people, apparently it's a word.
Area code.
Oh, shut up.
Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
You learn something every day.
Sure do.
You sure do.
Okay, here we go.
Sacramento Valley Amphitheater.
Uh-huh. Hi, this is Don and Mike. We're on the air right now at KHTK.
Uh-huh.
At the other radio stations.
Yes.
Do you pronounce this amphitheater, amphitheater, or amphitheater?
It's amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
No L.
Uh-huh.
How do you spell it?
A-M-P-H-I-T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
Jesus H. Christ. Let me write that one down. Hold on. Give me that again, honey.
Yeah, please.
It's A-M...
It's A-M-P-I... Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now you guys made me...
No, you're working there. You must have stationery.
A-M-P-H-I-T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Mm-hmm.
How do you pronounce it?
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater?
Amphitheater.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Why does it have such an effed up pronunciation?
Because because the people from the radio station were selling you a bill of goods.
So
it's spelled like every amphitheater in the country. It's amphitheater.
So it's amphitheater.
It's not amphitheater.
It's amphitheater. Hey, Brian Hill, come here for a minute. Hey, Charlie. Come here. You look like a freaking dope. Charles.
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
Where's he at, Lisa?
I think he's hiding.
But you know, he has that spelling thing. He's not a really good speller.
No. He's never hidden before.
No, he and I have had conversations about how to pronounce it. And they were specifically told amphitheater.
No, I don't know. He's just upstairs somewhere.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
You want to call him in his office?
Yes. Thank you, honey.
Okay.
Here he comes. He never hides. Charlie Boy, he'll never hides.
It's an amphitheater.
Obviously.
Okay. Who told you it's amphitheater?
I don't know. It's not that big a deal. That's where we're going to be.
But somebody told you from KHDK it's amphitheater.
I don't remember. Obviously, it's a big deal now.
Well, wait. Did you tell Don how to pronounce it?
I don't tell Don how to pronounce any word.
Yes, you did.
Obviously, I do not.
Oh, is this because I mispronounce obviously?
No.
Did we? Upstairs. And I know on the telephone many times, amphitheater.
Okay. I don't remember.
Look at the way you have it spelled.
So I spelled it wrong.
Let me see how it's spelled.
I put an L in there.
Amphitheater.
No, that'd be like apple.
That is a horrible spelling of that. That is funny. Amphitheater.
So it's an amphitheater.
Okay.
Amphitheater.
It's an amphitheater.
Okay. Like,
boy, did we sound dumb for a while, though.
Yeah, I apologize. I was ready to cut that guy on the telephone, an a-hole. And I said to him, of course, what do you want to bet?
And Buzz, what are you saying amphitheaters? I'm finding listings for amphitheater. Now, apparently, maybe search engines just work that way, that if you don't spell a word correctly, they'll find it anyway.
Well, I mean, you're saying you're finding amphitheaters. What names of amphitheaters?
I'm finding listings for them in Oregon and all over the country, actually. Well, here's the Star Amphitheater at the Chattahoochee River.
Star Amphitheater.
That's what it says.
Okay. How do they spell it?
A-M-P-L-I-T-H-E-A-T-E-R. Amphitheater.
Look for the one in Sacramento.
I have, and that one's not coming up.
I have.
Naturally.
Naturally. I have, and that one's not coming up.
There's going to be a wordsmith out there that will be able to explain the distinction between the two words, ampla and ampa.
Well, it's an amphitheater.
Mm-hmm. And I think Rob was getting close to it when you talk
amplitude?
About... I think an amphitheater would be something where you've got kind of an overhead.
I hope somebody.
But an amphitheater would be like, Rob, right? Like the Hollywood Bowl, right?
I thought that's what an amphitheater was. How do you feel empathy for me? I've been saying amphitheater for the last goddamn week.
We feel empathy for you.
Yes.
What does the commercial say?
Barry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says amphitheater because I went by the card.
Yeah, we'll have to change that. We don't want Barry to appear stupid.
Please join Don and Mike for a beautiful weekend of Las Vegas style shows. For the first time ever, the Don and Mike Las Vegas style show does a two-nighter out west. It's at Paul Quinn College.
No, Barry, it's in Sacramento.
God damn it. I'm cutting the f***ing spot, Tony.
Let's try this here again, one more time. Friday, April 27th, at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater at 8 p.m.
Amphitheater? He said it the same way.
Well, it was on your card that way.
Yeah. He told me.
Yes, I did. You don't often pay attention to things I tell you.
Obviously.
That's correct.
Naturally. Okay, so it's an amphitheater.
I think we've established that now. It's the amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
And, you know, it's funny because the PH, of course, is silent. Otherwise, it would be the amphitheater.
Yeah, right.
I suppose the correct pronunciation would be amphitheater.
I believe so.
I think amphitheater. I think you do pronounce... the PH sound, so it is amphitheater.
Well, now you're going to let me think about it.
Well, no, I don't know, though.
Amphitheater.
I think a lot of people say it's the amphitheater, when it's, in fact, the correct pronunciation would be amphitheater.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Got a joke for you, and I'm willing to give out my number if it sucks.
You know what? I love it when we're really trying to find some information.
Are you
not a wordsmith, sorry.
Are you on a landline or is this a cell phone?
No, I'm on a cell phone.
Okay. No good. Don't count. You gotta be on a line. You gotta be on you got because you A, you could just turn the phone off. B, it might not be your real cell phone, it might be a friend's cell phone.
Okay.
I thought you were gonna spell out amphitheater.
Well now
A
Lisa did like the joke. If that gives you any gauging on how bad or good it is.
No offense to Lisa.
Wait till you're on a hard line.
Yeah, call us on a ground line.
Lisa, how good was the joke? Would you?
Should I call like back to, with a...
Well, let's see if Lisa backs you up 100%.
No.
What's that?
It was bad. I was just hoping that he would get through and we would do the whole thing and we could say, oh, that's bad. Here's your phone
number. Very good.
I do have the definition of amphitheater.
Okay.
A circular or oval area of ground around which rows of seats are arranged on a steep slope for watching plays, sports, etc. outside.
Okay.
Now, on the same dictionary, I did a search for amphitheater.
Right. Yes.
And it said no definitions found. I also did a Yahoo search for amphitheater. So there are places that are naming themselves amphitheater. Mm-hmm. However, there is no such thing as an amphitheater.
Way to go! Good job, Lisa. Very nice.
So the deal is, the way I understand it, anybody that's calling their place an amphitheater,
right, they're full of S.
There's no such thing.
Correct.
But it still doesn't, the final question about this would be, is it ampa or ampha?
I think
you pronounce the PH sound if
as
you're going to be... as a fuh. It's amphitheater.
But I think most people pronounce it ampa like Tampa.
I'm going to the amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
When it's amphitheater.
Right.
I think. But I'm. You know, do you not pronounce the PH sound?
I don't know.
Listen. Are you getting a headache?
Yeah. is it your cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really? A cell phone.
Yes. I don't know how to prove it to you, but...
Right, hold on.
Robbie, get the number.
What the hell? Okay.
Yeah, I think he's got a joke that can crack us up.
Very good. It'd be a good way to...
Cleanse the palate
after this. Yes.
Move on.
Ugly.
But I mean... After this last unlistable 15 minutes of radio.
You know, it's one thing to give you the card. I mean, and that's... But then when Buzz finds the ampla...
Right.
Which isn't even a word.
Right.
And how many did you find?
You're naming a place where hundreds and thousands of people come.
I found 81 listings for Ampla Theater.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Ampla.
Idiots.
It's a misuse of the English language.
Well, they're playing around. You know, people invent words from time to time.
Yeah, but this doesn't fall into that category, does it?
Okay, here we go. Funny guy. Ready to slay us with a joke. Here we go. Get ready. And remember the rule now. If we don't think the joke is funny,
right,
we give out the guy's phone number.
Oh, you know, this place can just eat me.
It really can.
Whenever I'm in Vienna, I eat at the Amphora Diamond.
Amphora. Behind it, now I'm trying to...
Is he jerking us around?
No.
The long distance.
Hey. That's because Mel bought a long distance company.
Hello, it's Fred.
That's the truth. Yeah, hold on a second. The guy who owns this company bought a long distance company.
And he owns the national network.
And now that he owns a long distance company, whenever we make a phone call, it's on... You know, Melco, whatever the telephone company is.
Right.
And we can't even make a long-distance call anymore. We got to put in a special code.
That's good.
Okay.
Isn't it called Mel South?
What's your name?
Brad.
Okay, now, Brad, you realize we are ready to laugh.
I am willing to take the risk, gentlemen.
Okay, if this joke is not funny, we'll give out this phone number, and you know people will call you night and day.
Yep, all the money will go back to Mom Mel.
Even if you turn it off, eventually you'll have to turn it on.
I got you.
No one's ever made us laugh, but maybe you'll be the first. Go ahead.
How do crabs leave a hospital?
I know this one. It rhymes with herpes. Is it like on crotches?
Yep.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're giving it out?
Yeah, oh, right.
But you know what? Are you eager to have it given out, sir? Be honest with us.
Why would I do that? I think the joke's hilarious. I didn't know you'd know it.
There was another one like about herpes the love bug. That's
right.
What I was thinking about.
Herpes the love bug.
All right.
I don't have that one.
All right, buddy. Call this dummy at 410-241-9433. Okay?
Well, I took the gamble and lost. Thanks, fellas.
But listen, when you get those calls, don't blame us. Blame
the dirt.
Alexander Graham Bell, the man who invented the telephone.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Call us anytime. You can ring our mail.
410-241-9433. That's the phone number.
This is Spicoli. We're on Dangerous
grounds here. Amphitheater.
Yes, it is.
But the last week I've been saying amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater. Amphitheater.
Are you going to say ampa or ampha?
I'm going to say ampa.
Until if you got someone to definitively say that...
No. It's like someone who says library.
No, like somebody who says... It might be that amphitheater is like somebody who says library.
Yeah.
Library, and someone who says library would be the one that says amphitheater.
Ampha
is correct.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, even if I found out the correct way to pronounce it was that way, I would still say amphitheater. Just like people, I'm sure, know that you pronounce the word library.
No, they don't.
But they still say library.
No, I think people that say library don't have any idea that it's library.
Yeah. What you want to... Yeah, Rob, you want to get a phone book?
No.
Call people at random?
They're never home.
What is this?
Oh, Sacramento Valley. A-M-P-H-I-T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater. I don't know, though. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't...
yeah. No, the encyclopedia, the dictionary, all the pronunciations, including the one Lisa found, all say pha, amphitheater.
So the correct pronunciation is, it's the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater. Oh, I'm going to be the guy reading the card for the next week, so it's amphitheater.
Right.
Okay? Thank you. Let's clear the lines out now. Please. Jesus Christ. I was going to call 100, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Go see your auntie, okay?
877-365-3636.
I'm looking forward to going out to the amplifier, though.
We'll be back. Call 100 now. Secret sound. Good luck.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, you're getting better. That's the important thing. You look better, too.
If you're going to lie to me, coming into Broadway in the car, I want to tongue my balls.
Hey, you want that? It's a phone call away.
Now, when we have to... Why did the...
Come lick their thingy, Don and Mike.
Why do we have to put a beep in that? I don't know. I don't get that. Balls. He's like balls on the radio. Balls.
Christmas balls.
Balls of the wall. Listen, we just heard from the Secret Jesus.
Huh?
Out of Tyson's Corner Center.
Yes.
Shopping mall here in the D.C. area. Secret Jesus says three or four people who've been playing the game walked right by him.
Whoa!
That they've been walking up to other people and saying, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike.
Uh-huh.
So people are very close to finding our Secret Jesus. We continue to celebrate Easter.
Very good.
Tyson's Corner 1. He's there.
He's there.
And you people... Not Jesus, but our Secret Jesus is
He's
there.
Everywhere.
You people who are playing the game today, you've already walked by him.
Ooh, good hint.
Let that be a hint for you.
Fantastic.
But he's there waiting to give the money and call in. Tomorrow, tri-state area. If you listen to us on NEW, go to Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City between 5 and 6. Find the WNEW, Don and Mike, Secret Jesus. Welcome to everybody you see at the Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City tomorrow between 5 and 6. And say, Jesus Christ, I love Don and Mike.
You could win $100.
$100. Our Secret Jesus said that there was one girl who was coming right at him. And she did a beeline to a woman who was working behind the counter in a store.
Missed the opportunity.
Missed the opportunity. He's there. I mean, I don't want to say he's there. She's there.
Well,
he's there.
It's there.
It's there. Our Secret Jesus at Tyson's Corner right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Am I caller 100?
Yeah, right. What's your name?
Steve.
Steve. Where are you from, Steve?
Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Beautiful. Steve, you've won the 61 asterisk prize pack. Don't miss the HBO film 61 asterisk. Premiering Saturday, April 28th, 9 p.m., the story of the home run race between Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. I don't doubt that it's going to be good.
Right.
And worth watching.
Looks pretty good. It looks real good.
But I'm freaking sick of seeing the Made Of with Billy Crystal.
Directed by Billy Crystal.
Well, Billy Crystal virtually J.O.'s the entire, it's one of those half hour The Making Of.
Right. Yes, yes. Yeah. Billy Crystal praising himself.
Yeah, Billy Crystal wearing his Yankee uniform.
Talking about how good his movie is.
Yeah, talking about how when he met Mickey.
Uh-huh. The guy they picked to play Roger Maris is
Just fantastic.
He's a dead ringer.
I mean, and he's also, you know, he was in...
Saving Ryan's Privates.
And great. He's just he's the sniper in Saving Ryan's Privates.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's great. Great actor. I always like him in anything.
The guy who plays the Mick is good also.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, it looks like it'll be a good movie. I'm just sick of... I'm Billy Crystal'd out. You know,
right.
I'm sick of the, hey, this is what I'm about. I love the Yankees. I love Mickey. Look at, here's my chair. And at one point,
what they were trying to do was... You have a seat from the old Yankee Stadium, is that what he has?
And they're trying to match... They filmed 61 mm-hmm. at Tiger Stadium.
Right.
Which was being torn down.
Because they wanted to get the old flavor.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like... Billy Crystal, who gives a rat's if the seats are exactly the same color?
Right.
Well, he has one of the seats from the original Yankee Stadium.
Oh. Billy sweats the details.
And one of the production guys says that Billy brought the seat in from Yankee Stadium,
right.
Billy Crystal, and they took a one-inch square
mm-hmm.
off. They chipped a one-inch square off the side of the chair
mm-hmm.
so they could match the paint color exactly, and they were very concerned that Billy would be upset that there was a one-inch chip in his...
God. The password is over budget.
Yankee chair.
You live. Really? My God.
Cool.
And when he's talking about going through the Yankee clubhouse...
Yeah.
I mean, where they have all the details of this crap that you'll never notice while you're watching this TV movie.
Right.
Like, they have Field and Stream magazine, and they
right.
have whatever the grooming products of the Barbasol shave cream.
Did they get the right brand of Mickey Mantle's bourbon?
No, and you know what? I bet they don't because Billy Crystal is gay for Mickey Mantle. That'll be one of these things.
You've read a lot more Yankee books than I have, and I mean, there's some good party stories about the Yankees, like Whitey Ford, Billy Martin, and those guys.
Three Ball Four by Jim Bowden.
Right.
Still the greatest book I've ever read in my life. I read that book when I was about 10 years old, wow. and I
had no idea.
No!
That it was like that.
It was the first book I'd ever read about sports that was true.
Right, exactly.
Jim Bowden, mm-hmm. talking about hanging off the, how Mickey Mantle and his other dudes on the Yankees used to hang from the roof of the Washington Sheraton Hotel to look into hotel rooms to see girls changing their clothes. Ball Four, great book. Lots of good Mickey Mantle stories in there.
Absolutely.
Anyway, he was a good ball player, but Billy Crystal would like... take it up the butt from him. So this movie is very pro.
Sure, well, it's about
Mickey Mantle,
it's a Yankee story.
Sure, that's what it is. Anyway, I'm sick of seeing the commercials for it. Okay, thank you. Are you ready to play the game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, $500 online. Secret sound number 3, a common everyday clicking sound. Identify the sound, win the money. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
I'd like to do Leon Redbone again singing Take Me Out to the Ballgame.
And we wish you...
Godspeed. Caller, name this sound.
Is this still part of your Red Sox-induced...
No.
...ecstasy-like high?
I was responding to your Yankee talk here.
Oh, I got you. Oh, okay. Right, a baseball team. If we give away the money, it's courtesy of Main Street Title. Yeah. For $500, give us the sound.
A refrigerator door closing.
Oh. No. Thank you, though.
You bet.
Yeah, if your refrigerator is made out of bamboo.
Thank you, and don't forget.
You are the weakest thing. Goodbye.
Don't forget that every guest is a
clue for you.
Clue for you, yes. And the movie is 61, and I shouldn't be bad-mouthing it, because HBO offered us a trip up to New York.
No, but you were a big baseball fan, and you're a sports fan, and it is an intriguing-looking story. I'd like to hear... I didn't know there was all that tension surrounding that home run race, that Roger Maris went through all that crap because Mickey Mantle was the fan favorite.
It's just annoying to see Billy Crystal on HBO every half hour.
I haven't seen that, you know, and I know as soon as I do, I'm going to get turned off.
Oh, yeah. He's so gay for both of them. It's like, be a sports fan, make the movie, but just, you know, shut up.
Shut up. Right.
Just shut up, because at one point, Billy Crystal is standing. The guy who they got to play Mickey Mantle had never played baseball in his life, never even thrown a baseball.
Always love that.
So they show, when they're doing the filming, that Billy Crystal is such a jock sniffer that
he's gone down to spring training with the Yankees and played.
And he knows for each of these guys their mannerisms
when
they walked out of the dugout, like that. Mickey would take the bat and swing it over the back of his head, and then Roger would cock his right arm in the air and three times. He'd swing, and how his feet would be, and
right.
the length of his spikes mm-hmm. so that he could wipe away the dirt.
See, that's contrived, I think. But, you know, if you're a passionate baseball fan, you'd know the mannerisms of your favorite player.
I guess so. He's just a little into it. Anyway,
who is who? I'm going to do baseball stances okay. for you right now. Who's this guy? From the old days.
Okay.
You remember?
No.
Joe Morgan used to snap his elbow down like that. Most distinctive batting stance in baseball.
I don't know. Maybe you and Billy Crystal should get together sometime.
Who's that? Who's that?
Was it Yaz the Fag?
Yeah, man. Way to go. You didn't disappoint me. Now I am getting back to the Red Sox
stuff. Okay. So anyway, the HBO movie is 61.
There you go.
And it's on Saturday, April 28th, 9 p.m. Not to be confused with the Lane Closure movie.
Right.
69. Which will be on, I believe, the following weekend.
That's on late at night.
Late, yeah. Very on Skinamax. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
The alien has a sweet heavenly voice, like Urkel. And he appears every Friday night, like Urkel.
Well, your story is very compelling, Mr. Jackass. I mean, Simpson.
Somewhere between the taste of the scab and the smell of the Band-Aid lies the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, tomorrow on the show, a mystery guest, a guy we've never had on the show before. Yes, Mike knows who this one is.
Ah, very good.
Not a secret from Mike. Not a secret from Rob. Do you know Buzz?
Not exactly, no.
I bet you could guess, though.
I'm picking up the hints, yes.
Okay. Right. Wednesday. There'll be a girl in here trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records for shooting a banana out of a cooter.
So we're going to see how far. We're going to have a tape measure and all that good
yep.
stuff.
She thinks she can go 6 feet.
Wow.
Shooting a banana out of her cooter. She's going to bend over like she's hiking a football.
Does she get any points for accuracy?
Yes, we are actually going to have a little field goal in here. So.
How many tries does she get?
As many as she likes.
Bravo!
Bring goggles.
Maybe Bravo. The whole show.
Huzzah.
Thursday, Friday, live from New York, taking a road trip up to NEW. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, if I can guess who the Secret Jesus was, would you give me the money?
Secret Jesus is still there, but sure, go ahead.
He's still there?
Yeah.
Nah, then it's not who I thought it was. Well, thought it was Rob A.
How can it be Rob A? Rob A was here doing the show with us.
Well, I heard him
time.
In the beginning, and then he mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah, he had a quiet time during the middle of the show. You're absolutely right.
Really?
Did he? Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, he's always there.
He's been very quiet today. Is he feeling okay?
I'm fine. I'll be your Jesus, sir. Be your own personal Jesus.
Can I put you out on a cross?
Don't take it too far, sir.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. No, Secret Jesus still at Tyson's Corner.
Very exciting.
Still at Tyson's Corner. Loving the fact that no one's found he, she yet. And tomorrow at Roosevelt Field Ball in Garden City, right off the Meadowbrook Parkway, if you listen to us on NEW. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, I looked up the roots of those words for you, for the ansi and the ampli.
Yes.
And Latin for ansi means around or on both sides.
Yes.
And ampli means power.
In like amplifier.
Yeah, cool, exactly.
Amphi means surround.
Yeah, like a surround on both sides of you. One is Latin and one is Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had your wordsmith for today.
That's good. Now we have a...
It's pretty esoteric, but there is a difference, and I guess they really screwed you up when they told you it was one or the other.
Well, I think we established earlier that amply is not even a word.
It's a root of a word in Greek meaning power.
Oh, that's right.
But like amplitude, but you're right.
Amply theater is
not a word.
Word.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Anyway, so I just thought I'd share that with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I feel like I'm protecting this woman from all of you.
You were.
All of you with your looks.
You were.
She was just trying to help.
You well. Were. I was one step away.
I know, and then when I heard that, blah, blah, blah. But Rob, she didn't get the real bad one, which would have been...
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
This is Joey B. from SAC.
Yes, hi.
Hey, I have the website for the Valley Amphitheater if you want it.
No.
No, we're all set. We're looking forward to coming out to Sacramento, big time.
To the amphitheater.
This is they have the correct spelling, and I think they got you guys up there already.
Okay. Oh, really?
I'm talking about you.
Very exciting.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. You have a good one. Can't wait to see you.
Looking forward to it.
See you there. Hi, Don and Mike show.
You got it.
Hi. Don?
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. 2 years ago, you called me an effing ass because I said you were going off the air to a radio station that was a Spanish format in Las Vegas. You remember?
Yes, but, you know, to be honest with you, I also believe when I found out that what you said was true, I did give you your props and say the guy that called in, do you remember this?
I do.
Used to be on a station in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we are on an FM station out there.
And this guy called us, or some guy called us and said, hey, they're changing to a Spanish format. And you're right, I flew off the handle. What the F do you know?
Well, I mean, you flew off the handle, and we get angry at that because we don't like being taken off radio stations. It's very frustrating. And quite often the radio stations do their very, very best to not let the shows know what's going on.
And I figured, how would some, you know, putts listening to the show know
exactly
when the radio station never told us? But I, as a matter of fact, when I found out what you said was true, I believe I did give you your props and say, hey, that putts was right.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long have you been back on in Las Vegas?
Excuse me, sir. Address that, please.
I'm sorry. I missed that part. You're right. You probably did. I apologize.
You're right, you putts. And we've been on, I don't know, about a week again.
Oh, cool. How about a billboard so everybody will know about it? We really miss you.
I've got a better idea. You should tell all your friends.
Okay.
But that would only be two or three people, Mike.
It's true, yeah. There wouldn't be enough.
Not a lot. All right. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Hey, tell me something. The station that we're on now in Las Vegas, is it the biggest piece of crap in Las Vegas? Or I know it's AM, but is it at least a decent signal?
It's just hard to find. No one listens to AM out here.
Well, no one listens to AM anywhere.
When you find it, how does it come in? Loud and clear?
Probably like the number one AM station.
Oh, good.
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 The number one AM station.
Go find it.
We'll print that up and put that on placards.
That's good.
Okay. The number one AM sounding station in Las Vegas.
You would think Vegas is kind of an FM town. I mean, it just...
Hey, listen, I got... Fargo is an FM town.
They're all FM towns.
Yes, everywhere is an FM town.
But we take what we can get.
We're FM people.
We are.
Stuck in an AM world.
We are indeed.
We are.
God. Hello, Fort Myers.
God damn. Although I'll tell you something funny. although you'll probably... Okay, this is both good
okay. And
bad. It has nothing to do with us.
Right.
In Fresno, California.
Yeah.
One of the disc jockeys who we're not enamored with.
Right.
The one who's put out this big edict that no one can say his name in the company.
Yes.
Okay. He just got canceled
mm-hmm. In
Fresno. And the show that's replaced him
mm-hmm. In
the very first syndication is Gene Baxter.
we're on again at a station with Bean.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
that doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah,
good old Bean. I said Bean's doing real well for himself.
His show's number one 12 plus in Los Angeles.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, go figure.
Is he still doing it? From somewhere else?
Yeah. There's this guy we know, Gene Baxter.
Does he live in L.A.?
No, he lives in Seattle.
He's still doing that?
Yeah.
Nobody knows that, do they?
No. Nobody in Los Angeles knows. This guy works at K-Rock in Los Angeles. He does the morning show. Kevin and Bean. He's half of Gene Baxter. He's Bean. Well, he's one of these quirky guys. He used to walk around with a teddy bear all the time.
He used to carry a stuffed Ewok when Star Wars was very popular. He had a tarantula.
Had a tarantula in the radio station. Very weird dude.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's doing morning drive at K-Rock in Los Angeles, and one day he just decides that he's tired of Los Angeles. He wants to live in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So he moves to Seattle. They put a line in his house in Seattle and video conferencing.
Wow.
So he's doing the show from Seattle with the other dude who's still in Los Angeles, and like nobody who listens to the show has any idea that the guy who's talking about everything that's happening in Los Angeles really
right. Is
living in Seattle. And to get up and go to work in the morning, he just gets up and sits down at a desk at his house.
Amazing. And he's number one.
Yeah, and their show is now number one, 12 plus in Los Angeles.
Incredible. Little jealous.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And they just started syndication.
Way to go, guys.
Everybody gets syndicated now.
Welcome.
Right.
Welcome to our world.
Stand in line.
Really?
Hello, Don and Mike show. But Mike... We're king of AM.
We are indeed.
We are kings of AM radio.
And it feels damn good. Because you know what? When it comes to AM, we have tried our damnedest.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, You know how the Millionaire Show has gone downhill when they've had $2 million winners in the last week and you've nary mentioned it?
Oh, we don't talk about Millionaire. You know what else we don't talk about anymore? Survivor. I mean, we didn't even mention whoever got kicked off Survivor last week, right?
Right. You're gonna have, it's a pendulum. You're going to have the reality programs lose their intensity.
But tomorrow we'll be talking about...
The week of things. Goodbye.
Not a guarantee.
I've got last night's Millionaire on tape if you want to hear it.
No. Why would I want to hear some doofus win $1 million?
Oh, I don't know.
No, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And Millionaire, I mean, more than any of them, is a show I just, beyond boredom.
It's a show for really old people.
Yeah.
You enjoy it, Buzz.
No, I don't watch it at all. They still do okay in the ratings, but just barely. I mean, the heat has faded.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, it sounded like your little top 40 friend or top 40 countdown guy was made a little jab at you guys.
Pardon me? Speak English.
Got this top 40 countdown. It's in that case from the other guy.
Rick.
No! Rob!
Was that a Joe Mama call?
No, it was a D's Nuts call.
Oh, D's Nuts?
Oh, but you know what? D's Nuts doesn't count.
I didn't know that was...
03. Three,
eight, have we gotten three. Lots of those?
Get the guy's number.
Four.
Yeah, 14.
Have we gotten lots of those? These nuts calls, we don't get them at all anymore.
But good heads up anyway, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to storm right here. Rick D's? No. But you know what? D's Nuts, it's not nearly the same thing as the Joe Mama.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't work.
And D's Nuts was a short-lived phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got it?
Not yet. You have to wait for the repeat.
Okay. Because that bastard owes us an apology.
Amen.
In the meantime, oh, let me tell you. Oh, God, what happened to the show today? Scott the Dwarf is waiting to get
in. He's been very patient. He's been out in the lobby for hours.
All right, he can be on the next break, but we haven't talked about The Sopranos yet. And I haven't told you about this ridiculous Helen Hunt inside the actor's studio. It just made me hate Helen Hunt, and I love Helen Hunt.
She's an actress.
You got it, Robbie?
Yeah, let's take the bottom number there.
Okay.
How dare you
embarrass us in front of a reporter?
Helen?
How dare you?
Helen? Ask Tina to bring me my coffee.
Yes?
Yeah, how about an apology, please?
Well, first of all, I didn't know D's Nuts didn't count.
How about an apology?
I
just want an apology and we can go on our way.
I'm sorry, guys.
Very good. Thank you.
Rob, bye. Catch.
Yeah, it was a good catch on Rob's part. That's good. He apologized.
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
He apologized and gave Rob his props.
Goodbye. Okay, now listen, this Helen Hunt thing.
Yeah.
So last night, 8 o'clock, I see a TV Guide, a giant full-page spread.
Helen?
On Bravo.
Very good.
So I turn it on because, you know, I've had a thing for Helen Hunt for a long time.
I know you have. I mean, she's your favorite actress. I know
her.
When she was in Twister, that's when you were at your absolute peak with her.
I even liked her on that dumb show with Paul Reiser.
Yeah?
Paul Reiser. So she sits down with the blowhard idiot that is the host of that show. I don't even know his name.
I don't know his name either, but he does all those interviews, and he's very, very well prepared. He has a stack of these index cards, and he...
James Lipton.
James Lipton. He runs the Actors Studio, correct? Is he the dean of the Actors Studio?
He's some muckety-muck.
He's a mucky. I mean, he teaches and does all that.
Has anybody ever successfully come out of this Actors Studio?
Oh, my
studio?
God. Yeah.
A lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why there's a reason why they all kiss his ass. He's interviewed every actor that's anything, I think. I mean, they've all been on there, and I think a lot of them come out of that or at least take some classes in that studio in New York.
Well, I know immediately that the Helen Hunt that I like is not going to be on this show. She's tossing her hair like this.
Right.
She's sitting in the chair across from the guy, and she's tossing her hair like a horse tossing its mane.
Hmm.
And
it's the supreme, worship of the actor on that show. I mean,
listen, you guys who are editing the show, you're going to have to cut me some slack when I pronounce her name. Okay? I don't say it that way every single time. Okay? Helen Hunt.
Right.
Don't delete that out.
I said it the right way.
Christ, I can't even make a joke on this show anymore.
I understand.
They don't delete it out.
We enjoyed it, though.
Okay.
So those who are closest to you enjoyed it the most.
So anyway... Right away, I find out what a pretentious bitch this is. This girl who I have
loved and pined for.
In fairness to her, I didn't see the interview, but it is an environment that is conducive to pretentiousness.
But I,
who's up there?
But I have seen some actors like Gary Sinise. I've seen
that. He doesn't do just actors. Billy Joel was up there one time and did a great job.
And I saw Gary Sinise recently sit up there and was very cool about it. Like, hey, it's tough. It's a tough job, but, you know,
right.
Guys who dig ditches have tougher jobs. It's just very realistic.
She was talking about, you know, how the roles.
First off, it was my craft.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm getting into character. Like, for instance, when I was in Twister, I thought, what is she thinking now? And I would drive my director crazy because on every page I would write notes to myself about what this character might be thinking and what she might be doing. Now, keep in mind, in the movie, reality, really, in Twister?
The star is a flying cow.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a real cow. It was all done with computer. Mm-hmm. So the acting job was to stand in front of a blue screen and go, ah! You know, not a heavy bit of acting.
Right.
Okay? And the more she went on about, the thing that pisses me off, I think that being an actor is a great talent. And if you've got that and you're a movie star,
right.
Great for you. You have a talent no one else has. But let's be honest.
There is no profession in the world, movie making, television making, where there is more Jane O. I mean, than anything else.
It ain't rocket science.
No.
Okay. I like seeing a guy interviewed like Tony Soprano, where he says, hey, they give me the lines and I read the lines.
Right.
Okay. I like that. James Gandolfini, I like that. No, with Helen Hunt, and she's the last actress I thought I would get this from. Here's what I do. First, I do extensive research on the characters that I'm going to be playing.
I hate that too.
Then I get together with my acting coach. And for instance, when we were doing As Good As It Gets, I thought this character should have a slight New York accent that every once in a while should come out, but it should be below the surface, and it should only rise at certain moments in the movie. And they show a clip from the movie, and you know what? It's the exact same goddamn voice that she's using right now, the exact same voice that she used in Twister, the exact same voice that she used in Mad About You.
Right.
Then she says, I go through every script, and I think, what is she feeling now? For instance, you might notice in As Good As It Gets, in the beginning of the movie, and during all of this, there's this theatrical throwing back of the hair, and she's rubbing her forehead as if it's so tough for her to come up with these most intimate details of her acting style.
In a way, I've seen a lot of actors that are on that show that are acting. They're acting the part of the actor being interviewed.
For instance, you might have noticed it, As Good As It Gets, as the movie progresses, her wardrobe goes from earth tones to more reds and more oranges as she blossoms as a performer. And I thought in the meetings, yes, in this scene, she should be wearing a red dress because she's coming out. And then later, bright orange and bright yellow because that's what I'm bringing to the character. It's like, you stupid bitch! You know, there are wardrobe people on the show.
That's right.
They put you in the dress. I hate the fact that they take what's a relatively simple. Now, you got to have talent to be a good actor, and if you can pull it off, more power.
Yeah, it's very difficult, and there's certain people that have great talent for it, and there are others that don't.
But it ain't rocket science. And
it's pretend.
And it is. About the movie. When I went in for As Good As It Gets, Jimmy, James Brooks, of course, Jimmy, I sat down, and I knew immediately that I didn't even have a chance. I sat down, and I read a scene, and then he fumbled around and said, get me a video camera. And I went home, and he called and asked me to come in and do a screen test. And I said, she looks up like she's going to tell us something real heartfelt. She goes, and I said, there are 120 people who work on Mad About You. And if I'm going to put their lives on the line and stop production of that show to film this movie,
and they're going to accommodate me, then I don't feel that I have to take a screen test, and you can get back to me by the end of the day. And he called me later that day. Ha And I got the role.
you dumb bitch.
So she.
I loved you so much.
She was taking a really good long swim in the lake near your lap pool, huh?
I love you so much. And you're just a stuck up bitch. Like every Hollywood actress is. And you're not even a good actress. You're just kind of wholesome and sexy.
Exactly.
Please.
So you were crushed, in other
words. And that whole Academy Awards thing.
You got it because he was in the movie.
Jack?
Yeah. Because Jack was in the movie. Please. See, it made me hate Helen Hunt.
Oh, no.
Wow, that's
one of your favorites.
I wish I had a tape of it.
Well, there's plenty of room in the Julia Roberts Lover Club. Come on over. I bet she's not as pretentious.
You know what? I bet you she's not. Mm-hmm. I bet she is not.
She's not.
But as I watched this last night, it was 8 o'clock, right before Sopranos, I'm watching this just going...
Where's the girl? Where's the girl from The Mad About You? Where's the girl who played the quarterback of the boys' football team?
Well, the telling the screen test story is kind of a hey, look how hot I am.
Yeah, and it's and someone says, would you ever go back to television? And she laughs, and again she throws her hair back, and she says, well, I've learned never say never, but I'll tell you this: if I do it, it'll never be on a show called Helen. Well, I certainly hope not, but check back with me in 10 years or so. Uh-huh. If the proper script came along.
I'd like to see. I'm
sure.
Look for this now.
I'd think about it.
I have a look for this.
She came off like such a rich, stinky bitch.
Right.
It ruined the whole fantasy.
Your love affair with Helen Hunt is over.
It's over, and she had just a denim shirt on. She had 4 buttons unbuttoned.
Right. Looking sexy.
Looked incredibly hot.
She seems to get better with age.
But then I realized why Abu from The Simpsons had to leave her.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? Because that's who her boyfriend was. Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria. Right.
Could you imagine being around someone who takes herself that seriously the time?
That'd be a little bit tough. Yeah.
My craft.
You know what? If you want to feel better about it, blame Paul Reiser. Blame Paul Reiser. Maybe he did that to her.
Oh, she had nothing but great things to say about him.
Well, there you go. I mean, there's that connection right there. You always hated Paul Reiser.
I've always hated Paul Reiser.
Paul Reiser.
My craft. What I do is I work with my acting coach. And then she says acting coach. And then they ask her a question. What do you do with the acting coach? And what she in essence says is really nothing. Mm-hmm. She talks about him. Then they ask her a question about the acting coach.
Right.
Well, he really has nothing to do with me actually getting into the role. I use him mainly to bounce material off of and
white birds?
Yeah, right. And to white.
I want to see
that. Wipe my bung.
I really want to see. To have you turn so completely, and I mean, everything you're saying is.
You seem to be so down to earth.
Swimming in Lake Mead.
Goddamn. Really.
You know, it's tough. When you get that kind of adulation, you get all that glory. People kissing your butt all the time. Some people just get swept away.
Yeah.
And then there are other people that don't, and those people are very cool. Those are the people that I root for.
Yeah.
Not many of them around either.
Just made me hate her. That's all. I hate her now. I could never look at her the same way now. Don't delete that out, please. Have some balls. Have some integrity. Oh, what? Did you delete her out, Broyle?
You knew that was going to happen then.
God.
Because he has balls. Again.
Every time I say that.
You are the weak friend.
We've run out of delay, I see. Well, then let me. There's more upstairs? Well, that's subtle. That's not even.
Oh, that's subtle. Oh, yeah.
You don't think that's subtle?
Not that one,
okay.
No.
All right.
Not about the last five.
She's dead to me. when we come back, Scott the Dwarf is here.
Yeah. Good. Where do you, have you seen him yet?
No.
Where do you see what he's wearing?
His new rock and roll look, right?
Mm-hmm. His new rock and roll look times 20.
All right, we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.
I just found out Mike Hunt filled in for me, right?
They go together.
together like Vicodin and Methadone. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, joining us now, I understand he's been trying to get through like for the last 15 minutes. But we were doing other stuff. Here is Secret Jesus.
Hi, Secret Jesus. How you doing?
Fine, my children. How are you?
SJ, Secret Jesus.
Yes.
I understand you did have a winner today.
Yes, I found a girl a few minutes ago who came frantically running up to me.
Wonderful, Jesus. Now, when Lisa told me that the girl, and I'll tell you why Lisa told me this, because Secret Jesus, in fact, is Lisa's boyfriend, Nick.
Nick was Secret Jesus.
Nick is Secret Jesus.
Were there a lot of people, Nick Jesus, running around the mall tonight?
I got a couple of them that were, there was some guy frantically running around the level below me, asking everyone in sight. It was just funny appearing over the little ledge, looking at him, running around like a moron. I got a guy that were walking directly towards me, and the girl was egging the guy on to you know, ask people if they were Jesus, you know. Go ahead, ask him the question. Kept pulling on his shirt. He didn't have the balls to do it, so.
So they actually didn't even have to ask the question. You just had to walk up to you and finally say, as the woman did,
right,
Jesus Christ, I love the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, that's a challenge for some people to do that.
All right, well, anyway, so we'll get her name, give her the $100, and Nick was the Secret Jesus today at Tyson's Corner.
Thanks for your help, Nick.
All right. Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks.
Okay, hold on. I think your girlfriend wants to talk to you.
Oh, okay.
How are things going with you and Lisa?
All right.
I know a lot of guys in the audience would be interested in hearing how things are going with you two.
Going very well, thanks.
So you're probably just disappointed a lot of guys in the audience.
You mean guys that might want more detail?
Well, guys who want Lisa.
Right.
And guys who also want more details. Is she giving you any more oral?
You know, depends. Like I said before, she does favors. You know, if I do favors for her. And she does favors for me, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. It's a give and take, Don, any relationship.
Yes.
So do you only get oral if you give her oral?
Not necessarily, you know. Because I play Secret Jesus, you know.
Oh, oh, because you played Secret Jesus, you'll get oral?
Right, like I had to drive around to for the interviews, you know, last time. The elections.
Oh, right, when she went to the... You mean when she went to the Chinese... Oh, no. We did the thing with Gore. Remember we...
Yeah, back in the elections.
That's right. So you got oral then?
Well, that leave that up to your imagination.
All right. What if you did something real nice now? Oh, you guys don't live together, do you?
No, we don't.
But let's say that you did something real nice and sweet and unexpected for Lisa. Like you surprised her with the... Are you still at the stage of a relationship where you, like, give her flowers and junk?
Every once in a while, well, yeah.
Okay, let's say you gave her some real nice flowers and treated her real nice. Then do you expect oral?
Not necessarily.
Do you have to ask for it, or does she just give it?
You know, well, you know how guys do it. They kind of like inch over that way, you know, kind of move around, that kind of thing, you know?
They're probably at the stage where it's not necessarily verbal.
Yeah, just straight up ask for it, right?
Later, as the relationship matures, you have to be as direct as possible.
So you're still at the, what, pushing her head stage?
Basically, yes.
Okay. I gotcha. All right.
Pushing your head stage.
No, none of that. She's a sweetheart.
Oh, I know. We're very fond of her.
What do you mean, none of that? We weren't saying anything.
No, it's a stage that a guy goes through with a girl.
We're talking about, like, young love more than anything else. Let me ask you this, Nick. Is dating Lisa as wonderful as the guys in our audience imagine it to be?
Oh, it's better than they can possibly imagine.
There you go.
Better than they can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had her?
I don't know if she's going to be too happy with this. Last week.
Just last week?
Well, you know, it's that time.
Oh, gotcha.
We better not.
I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, don't do it then.
Thanks, baby.
Well, oh, dear.
Don't let her start to push you around. She's like a mini Frida.
Too late.
Stand your ground, Nick.
Oh, I'll try.
All right, dude. Thanks for being our Secret Jesus today.
Oh, my pleasure, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
I know a lot of the men in the audience will be grateful for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Nick was giving us some information about what it's like to be involved intimately with a very own Lisa.
A lot of guys enjoyed that.
Yeah.
A lot of, some guys probably didn't, though. You know? The jealous types probably
sure. Didn't. Tom Gavin's out there. The guys who think that they have a shot with her. The guys who'd love to be pushing her head.
Oh, God.
All right, where is Scotty the Dwarf?
Scott the Dwarf, enter and sign in, please.
Bring him in now. Listen, I just want to say something. This is a guy who used to be on the show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he calls up, we always say to him, hey, why don't you come down? Why don't you come down? Why don't you come down? He's like everybody else. He doesn't come down until he's got something he wants to promote.
Yeah. He wants to use us like a toilet.
Yeah. He's got a band.
Well, it's good
now.
To see him. We really like Scott, too.
Yeah.
Scott's a guy we'd like to have visit all the time. But, he's, you know, the only time he wants to come by is when he's going to, you know, use us. Use us like an absolute toy.
Here he is.
The argumentative, obnoxious dwarf.
Scott the Dwarf.
Here he comes.
Here he is.
Now that he's got something to sell.
Here he is.
What?
Oh, look at him all rock and roll.
I said, now that you got something to sell, you come by, you know?
Look at what is that?
Look at that. Look at the outfit. I told you. Look at his outfit.
Mag Billy Idol outfit you're wearing. Jesus Christ.
Hollywood now, man.
You're very Hollywood.
He's got his cool red shades on there. There you go.
How you doing?
So what happened to us?
We just flipped you off.
Yeah, I missed this guy. I did. I saw him out in the lobby before. I missed Scotty. Pull the microphone closer. You're on radio. Don't you forget.
So now that... I had this problem last night. So now that I haven't been interning for you guys really think that you can say midget as much as you can now?
You guys said it three times today.
Did we really?
Are you wearing cologne?
Yes, I am.
He's cleaned up, hasn't he?
Like a Liza Minnelli shoe.
You have a definite way about you now that you are like rock star dude. It's like rock star dwarf.
Hey, don't worry.
How you doing? Look at the two finger. Hey.
Oh, not to mention the fact, what did you do to your hair?
You like dyed it or something, right? You got little highlight blonde.
Yeah, I'm my personal assistant highlighted.
His personal assistant.
Is that your wife?
No.
Are you still married?
Yes, I am.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Glad to hear that.
No, yeah, I have a PA.
A PA?
You
know, he was telling me about his band, that his band is doing very well.
Well, I hear you're going to be opening for The Offspring.
Yeah, we're a lot. Well, it's a big festival in Tampa, and The Offspring is the headliner, but like Head PE, Linkin Park, Three Doors Down, the Kryptonite Band. So much Stained. Oleander, Tesla, Black Crows. I mean, it's this huge festival.
How did you and your dwarfing band get in on that?
We have managers that do all our work for us, and they
book you in these things.
They book you. Yeah.
How much do you make?
I can't tell you that. I'm Hollywood now. I don't talk about my money. You talk about how much you make a year, and I'll tell you how much I make.
Oh, he has gotten Hollywood. What happened to this guy? That is... Oh! What happened there?
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to get on the phone. I got a question for you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Scott.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
I can barely hear you.
How about now?
All right, cool.
Was that you in the picture in the October issue of High Times with the Playboy model-looking girl?
Were you in High Times magazine?
I don't think so.
Oh, it was y'all. It was the Little Kings.
No, really?
Yeah, they were doing a review on you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this past October issue of High Times, it's, you know, a dwarf and...
I can't believe that, you little media whore. You don't know that you're in High Times magazine.
No, but now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it was. You were with some Playboy... I guess it was you. I don't know if it was you.
Were you with a Playboy... Have you ever been with a Playboy model?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
You know he has.
You know, look how much...
I like this new Scott.
Look how much
I like this new Scott a lot.
I like the old Scott. You know what this
is? I know, and I like this new Scott.
This is like watching Helen Hunt on that show last night.
It's very cool, though. I dig him. I dig the whole outfit.
But
really
all about
do.
My craft, you know.
Craft. So your band. Give me your CD.
Right. Let's listen.
The Little Kings.
Give this tune a listen.
Right.
This song's actually getting played on radio.
Is it really?
We were named Band of the Week in New Jersey.
Band of the Week in New Jersey.
I know. I mean, consider this horse, but still.
Right.
Start.
I mean, any stations I heard of playing it?
105.3 in Union.
Union where? Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
New Jersey?
In New Jersey.
Union, New Jersey.
It's, I don't know, WJLH or something like that? Or JLH? Crank it, baby.
All right, here is The Little Kings. What's the Big Idea? Now, what are you on this? Are you the singer?
So this is you singing right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the hook is that you guys are dwarfs.
Yeah. But that's pretty genius of us, isn't it?
How do you bring that up? It sounds Offspring-ish.
Really?
I mean, that's a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the parents.
Do you play guitar when you're doing this too? No, you just sing.
I'm always.
You just front the band.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah. All right. It's good.
All right. Come on, you got to give me something.
It's good.
You like it? I mean, seriously?
Yeah. I mean, it's not my cup of tea.
Would you play it? Really? Would you play it in your hooks out of the commercial?
Sure, that would promise.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, seriously, we're actually getting radio play, like, here and there and stuff, and I wanted to come in here because you guys are, like, my heroes, man, you know? And before I go on all these other ridiculous shows, I wanted to go
well,
to
that. Well, what ridiculous shows are you going on?
I'm not going to discuss that.
Not really.
No.
Not really. Are you, what are you guys doing, a radio tour or something? What are you doing?
Yeah, we're actually playing here. There's another station asked us to play here Memorial Day.
HFS?
Boy, you can do the HFS
well? Yeah.
Well, that's a good gig. That's a great gig, Scott.
Yeah, that's a really cool
good
gig.
Good for you. Yeah. All right. Just, why
I tell you what.
Why don't you just lift your dwarfing ass up and just take a nice big crap on us?
I didn't say anything. No, dude, I didn't say anything.
All right, do it for HFS. That's okay.
You said it.
How many times have I asked you to come by and told you that you could bring your band and perform live on this show?
Before you do that gig for that other radio station, you have to bring the band here and perform live.
Right. No, I want...
Such enthusiasm.
No,
enthusiasm. You know that? I want to do... Let me do you. This is what you just said. All
right. No. Here's the deal with that.
Bring your CD.
Can I tell you something? You can reach more people opening the window right now and screaming than you'll get with your record being played on WHFS.
I'm not complaining about that. I told you. You guys are my heroes.
You're going to bring the band in?
That's why I came
here. We need the band.
Yes. Yes. But here's the deal. My guitar player lives in Connecticut.
Yeah.
The three of us, the other three band members live here. We meet in New Jersey. So every weekend we go to New Jersey and then we gig out from there. It's not like we can, it's hard to come on a weekday from my, with my guitar player.
We go to New York. We're going to be in New York Thursday and Friday.
Charlie was talking to me about that and we are going to meet up with you in New York.
All right.
I believe in, I think in June we want to. Something like.
In June?
Yeah, the first, something like.
That'll be after the HF Festival.
Well,
yes, it will.
It's not about that. It's about it's. I'm
no,
giving,
you
guys
no. It is about that. It is about.
They wouldn't have come to you and said you can't. They wouldn't say to you that you have to perform there first with them.
No. No, I'm saying, but I didn't mention this.
But we would say to you.
You guys did.
Yes, of course we did.
Huh?
We're territorial.
I know you are, and that's why I wanted to come here. And I will tell every other station that I ever go to that you guys are the team in radio.
What's wrong with that?
Do you believe this guy?
What do you want me to
He's
do?
He's all showbiz now.
He what sure do you want me to do?
He's totally showbiz.
He I got to sure sell myself, man. You know, I mean, sorry. I mean, well, I got to go anywhere.
I understand. So friendship and loyalty is out the door.
I am because your friend
because
to the end.
Because you got to sell yourself.
I am your friend to the end. But, no, but it's not about, come on, you guys.
That's fine.
Don't make me jump up there. It's all about rock and roll.
Oh, F you.
Hey, I'm also in a movie with Ben Stiller in October. And I'm in an orgy scene with Christine Taylor and Ben Stiller. What do you think of that? And you guys are the first to hear about that. I had not told anybody about it.
Oh, geez.
I'm telling you.
Thank you for that exclusive.
What's the name of the movie with Ben Stiller?
Zoolander. Yep.
Funny movie?
Very, 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 very funny.
And you,
If you're so happening, what are you doing here?
Because you guys are happening, and I figured I'd come here and have, you know, this big happening session.
You're funny. It's great.
I love it. No, seriously, you guys are... I love you guys.
I want to hear the band live. I really do. I want to hear your band live.
Where can we set up here?
Can't we? Couldn't we set up?
We have a drum set.
Couldn't we set up down in that little area down next to the building in New York?
We could see. Yeah, there's a performance area outside the studio at NEW. Well, you guys could simply go back here. But if you remember back in the good old days when you used to be a part of the show,
yes.
The day that we dressed you up as the St. Patrick's Day elf and
yeah,
you
right.
got drunk and threw up back there,
right.
you guys could perform back there.
All right.
They don't need a lot of space. They're dwarves.
Yeah, but we have big drum sets and big guitars.
Is your guy from Connecticut? I mean, he can't come down here?
He can, but it's like we can't say we're doing it tomorrow. We have, like, a whole big schedule. We're at a big schedule thing.
I understand. And you're too important.
No, it's not I understand. True. You're making me out to look like an ass, and that's not true.
No, well, we've made this offer many, many times, Mr. Showbiz. We have...
We knew you back when your hands were dirty.
Thank you.
We knew you back when you were Scott the dwarf.
Right.
The argumentative dwarf.
Right.
Now, look at you now. Who's the dude who died today?
Oh, Joey Ramone.
Yeah, you're the dwarf Joey Ramone now, all of a sudden.
Hey, that'd be a compliment, too, because Joey Ramone is hot. It's cool. But hey, no, seriously.
He's totally changed.
Hey, it's all about rock and roll.
There we go.
Come on. There's the real Scotty.
You've give totally it a changed.
No, I have not.
You
know
what?
I came here.
You sold out. Look at those fag Elton John glasses
right.
you're wearing.
I sell out every Coliseum I play. That's a sellout.
Okay. Well, we wish you good luck.
No, thank you.
We wish you good luck with
thank
your
you.
Band.
Seriously, will you play that, though? I mean,
no, you know what? I think it's a trade-off, Scott. Mm-hmm. I think you have to give us some kind of commitment that we're going to hear the Little Kings live. You know, that's not too much to ask.
I promise you, you're going to hear us live. I'm going to get with Charlie. He has to get with my booking manager. It's not about me. It's about them.
I'm not. Okay, F you.
No, I'm serious,
F
dude.
Booking manager.
I'm serious. I don't even know what the schedule is like. Please, if you had Billy Idol in here, you would be doing the same thing.
You're not Billy Idol.
Billy Idol has sold about 15 million records. And you are on, excuse me, the label is What's the Big Idea Record. That's the title of the song. That's not even a CD. Our CD comes out in May. That's just a single.
What is the label?
There is no. We don't have a label yet.
Ah-ha-ha.
Generic.
Bingo.
Yeah, we suck. We're going down the tube.
I am not
we're
saying.
We're going down the tube.
I'm not saying
we're hurt.
Sucked.
We're hurt.
Yes, we're hurt.
We want you just to say.
I'm hurt that
we
you
want you to.
Hurt.
We want you to say you'll take care of it. You'll get your band to play here live.
We don't
want to
hear all this crap about your
booking agent.
Booking agent.
Your people.
And, you know, enough of that. And your personal assistant.
I don't like not having headphones because I can't hear Buzz.
Well, he hates you too.
He doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He's more spiteful than Mike or I.
He's not.
You should hear what
we like. The full. We really would like. You know.
I'm telling you. I promise you. You'll have the whole band. I promise you.
All we're saying is just remember your roots. That's all.
I remember
your roots.
That's why I came here now.
No. You came here now.
I'm serious.
To get this played on the show.
That is not true. I wouldn't have cared if you didn't play that at all. I just wanted to come in here and tell you what's going on.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, here you go.
Here's your CD back.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem.
When you bring the band in live, we'll play that.
You really give my CD back?
You did.
Of course
you bastard. You bastard.
No, I'm not gonna.
You bastard, you're fucking kidding.
Now they're throwing it back and forth.
No, take it back. I don't want to break it.
Here we go.
I don't want to break it.
Poster holder or something like that.
This is the argument of dwarves.
No. I don't want to break it. There you go. Don't, please. It's going to break it. We keep tossing it back and forth.
I'm going to keep it right there. I already told you. You made me uncomfortable.
I have to talk to my booking agent and then
I'll take care of
my personal assistant.
I will take care of it. I will take care of it. We will definitely be here.
And look at what is up with these clothes. Look at this. What are you wearing?
Shirt.
Is that what you wear? Is that what you wear when you perform?
You're just starting to start crap. That's all.
You know what?
That's my band.
No, you know
that's
what?
Right.
You used to wear T-shirts, regular shirts when you would come into work.
Right.
Look what you're wearing today. You're wearing a goddamn shirt that's got, I don't even know how to, Buzz, how do you describe what he's got on?
It's like fringe, and then there's more shirt and more fringe. It's a kind of see-through on the sleeves with the...
And it's also see-through on his belly.
Metal studs on
he's
it.
Got the, you've always had the fierce nipple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just...
He's your styling.
You're a different guy. You're a different guy, but it's okay.
I'm completely not different.
You're totally different.
No, I'm totally
different. Are you the leader of the band?
No, we have four band members. We're all leaders.
All right, so you're not the leader of the band. You don't
try to catch me. You try to catch me.
What you're saying is you're not the John or Paul of the band.
No, it's all a group effort.
So you can't really like call the shots.
Like the Beatles. No,
you can't say, hey, get down here and do this.
No, I cannot.
It's a group decision.
Because it's four votes, four equal votes.
Correct. No, it's actually, yeah, four in our manager.
Is that how you decide that?
Mm-hmm.
Or does your manager tell you where to go?
Nope.
You guys call the shots.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, as a band, we call the shots, but as managers, they also tell, you know, they book everything, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, manager's been the reason you've gotten all these great gigs?
Yeah.
So your management team is good?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
What's the biggest gig you've had?
Well, coming up.
No, but what's the biggest?
2 months ago, we opened up at the Mighty Bunny Bostones in Connecticut. That was the biggest one we had. That was 6,000 people.
That's good. How were you received there?
It was great.
Did you mention us?
No, but I mentioned you, I swear, on that Fox.
On the National Enquirer show?
No, I did.
Yeah, right.
No, I did. I
right.
Dude, they cut out like an hour and a half. They taped us all day, and they played a minute and a half. I'm telling you, it's not my authority to what gets cut out or what's not.
Do you miss us?
I'm telling you. Yes, I miss you guys very much. I wanted a job here, man, for like 2 or 3 years after I left here, and I never got a job offered to me. Or when I apply for jobs, I never got...
What job did you apply for here?
I applied for the phone answering job that you always have here. When the smelly breath guy...
Jimmy?
Jimmy the intern?
Yeah, when he left. I applied for his job afterwards and never got anything. I turned in my resume 2 or 3 times because I really wanted to work here, and nothing.
Did you ever tell me? I was unaware of that.
I don't talk to you about that thing. I talk to the hiring people, I thought.
Well, listen,
I was a young kid. I don't know about that.
Here's a job you might be interested in.
Oh,
in the Washington
Post.
Yeah. WJFK-FM, operations director. So there is a job opening here.
Come back. All right. Well, I'll apply for it.
All right. Well, listen. If we go to a show
where you're playing, will we
get... I don't want to leave with a bad taste in your mouth.
If we go to a show where you're playing, will we get backstage passes?
Yes, you will.
When you get really big?
Oh, well, who's saying that?
But if it happens...
I'm just trying to get the next step.
Lifetime backstage passes for Don and Don and myself and our guests.
If you keep this, and don't be an ass and throw it back at me.
No. I'm not going to play that until you bring your band in.
That's fair.
Will you keep on to it, though?
We'll hold on to it, but we'll play it when you bring the band in.
Did you like it? Did you like it? The song? Oh, it wasn't your.
I would
give you my opinion.
I feel like I'm watching the scene between Ralphie and Tony Soprano.
I would give you my opinion, but then again, what's my opinion? I'm not.
Your opinion matters.
I'm not HFS.
Yeah, I didn't mention that.
You know what? I'll give you my opinion as soon as I talk to my booking agent.
I hate you guys. Why did I come in here?
You know what?
What?
I got to talk to my PA about this for a second.
Rob?
Hey, Rob.
You think I should tell him what I think of it?
I will have you call him soon, and then perhaps we'll discuss it, but we don't want to do anything yet.
My PA says I just can't discuss what I think about your
story. Hey, and also, before you do, whatever your decision is, you know, we have to vote on it.
Yeah, of course.
Right, that's it. Rob, me, and
we're all trying to get a nut. Look at you guys.
Because, it's the four of us. It's an equal vote. And
are you getting a lot of strange? Is your wife listening right now?
Yes, she is.
And our booking agent, Donald Easton.
Yes, she gets one vote.
All right, well, Scott.
All right.
Good luck to the Little Kings.
You Little Kings.
Like what? Still like me or what?
Yeah, cool? We like you, but we really do want you to bring the
goddamn band. I mean, look at you.
I think you sold out.
No, I didn't.
You're wearing a sweatshirt that says Batman and Robin on it.
That I got for free.
Oh, so did I. I got this for free, too.
I'm wearing the exact same clothes as when you knew me when you worked here. I'm wearing the exact same clothes.
I would have wore this to work, too, but I probably would have got busted for indecent, whatever.
sexual harassment.
Thank you. At work.
Seriously, we wish you the best of luck.
And we want you, we are very serious. We want your band to come in here.
Yes, you come in, and we'll promote the hell out of your band.
All right.
And we got to get, especially if you're doing that other thing, in order for us to do it with all good faith and good conscience, we have to have you here first.
First.
Otherwise,
I hear you.
F it.
I hear you.
No matter how long we were friends and all that, you know, it's a business. It's a business decision.
Otherwise, you're dead to us.
It's all about the business.
That's right. It's all about the business. With you, it's all about the rock and roll.
Yeah, that's right. And you know how vindictive we can be.
Exactly.
Okay, good seeing you, Scott.
All right, good seeing you.
Thank you,
that's
Scott.
So warm and fuzzy now that I came in here.
Good seeing you.
Bye. He flips us both off.
Jesus.
There he goes. Hey, Scott. Scott, one thing. When you're going by the window, one cartwheel. He's doing
play
right
with cartwheel.
The whole song, can we play a little bit of it like
no,
John
no, no,
did
yeah,
before?
You know what? No, no, no.
Let me hook up to the chorus.
No, not for a cartwheel. Not for a cartwheel. Not for a cartwheel. No.
Come on.
I already played a minute and a half of the goddamn song. I'm not going to play another minute and a half so you can watch him do a cartwheel.
Look at his face.
Look
at the boy. Come on.
I don't care. No.
All right.
Come on. Oh, right. You know, I hate this posturing. No. God. No. Right. Can I help you with anything else?
No, it was good talking to you guys.
It was do a cartwheel. Good talking to you.
Do a cartwheel.
And do that thing. Do that thing when you talk to us where you point at us. Give us that show this one. It was good talking to you guys.
Up to the heavens. It was nice talking to you guys.
To you.
I will see you guys later, and I'll definitely get the band.
If you really love us, you'll do a cartwheel going down the hallway.
We do wish your band, the Little Kings, all the luck in the world.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. All right. I really wanted to see a cartwheel. Very disappointed. I hope he does a cartwheel. That's gonna tell us something here. See if he does a cartwheel going down the hallway.
Bet he won't.
I bet he won't too.
He thinks he's.
Hey.
There he goes.
There he goes. All right,
did it.
There he goes. Show busy.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Good for him.
Okay. We wish him good luck.
Absolutely.
The band is called the Little Kings, K-I-N-G-Z.
Right.
I love it. I do. I love it. I love the new Scott, man. I love the ego. I like the whole thing. He's just walking around flipping us off, pointing, hey, I'll talk at you.
Hey. Hey, baby.
It's not something I can decide. It's up to my people.
Right. His booking agent.
My booking agent.
I love it.
Christ. I hope everybody's enjoyed the commercial-free show we provided for you today. We'll be back in about 2 days. Oh, no, I don't want that yet.
No, not yet.
I want this. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
Are there times when you have to have fresh breath?
You've got bad breath.
Are there times when you...
Bad breath.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I forgot... And now, with another segment designed to disgruntle Buzz Burbank, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Well, Buzz is going to be pissed tonight. Tomorrow, you know, what happened to the show? I'm just telling Ron. I bet the point when we lost control of the show today was the amphitheater
discussion.
Would that have been what it was? I think so.
Shame.
Do you think we lost control before that?
No, I think that's probably about right.
I mean, all I know is that we were not on time, but we were within the parameters of being on time.
I don't even try to figure it out anymore because it always feels like we're normal. And then we realize at the end of the show we're not normal.
We're terribly up today. Secret Jesus contest tomorrow. If you're listening to us on WNEW tomorrow between 5 and 6, go to the Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City, New Jersey, right off the Meadowbrook Parkway, between 5 and 6. Simply ask everybody in the mall. Say to them, don't ask them. I don't want you to say that. Say, Jesus Christ, I love the Don and Mike Show. Find our secret Jesus. Win $100 and now.
Stay tuned for news and comment.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, you hate when people say that.
It's getting crazy in here.
And Bridget the Midget's on the phone. The real Bridget.
From out west, they say.
Bridget?
Hello, Don and Mike.
There she is.
My God, here's another voice from the past.
Bridget the Midget. Jesus Christ.
Boy, all grown up.
Oh, my gosh. So I got an email from a friend of mine saying that I was being badmouthed on the show, but not by you guys.
No.
Somebody
mistook you for, like, a porn star.
Some guy heard a porn star named Bridget the Midget.
And who it really is a midget, though.
Right.
Is she really?
Right.
Yeah.
And you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm a real woman. Real full grown.
You bet you are. Are you still going to... Were you going to UCLA?
I graduated from UCLA in the spring of 99. Now I work there.
And your degree is in?
Microbiology and molecular genetics.
Okay.
So now I'm teaching microbiology.
You got your degree in microbiology and molecular genetics.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Hey, hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on. I'd like to talk to Bridget the Midget tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no idea how late we're running today.
Okay.
Hold on a second, Bridget.
Okay.
Hold on. She used to love taking her shirt off.
She really did.
Very cute. Yes.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
And Buzz, what's your lead story tonight on the made-up news?
Tonight, America stops stocking up on guns.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Really?
Really.
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 Don, you are on the air, sir.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments,
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
That was professional, sir.
Number one, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
With over 6 million listeners, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes.
We're now getting a million calls from New York.
Ah.
All day I've been effing this up. Hello?
Yes, hello. Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
I listened to you through three markets on the way home. Great show.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was on Long Island in New York, not New Jersey.
Yeah,
oh,
you know.
No.
Yeah,
oh.
The mall. You know. Once again, I'm going to have to blame it on the information I was given. But you would think, says Garden City,
yeah.
The Garden City Turnpike.
Garden State.
The Garden State.
The Garden
Jersey.
State.
Right.
Garden State.
No, New Jersey is the Garden State. Well, Garden City's in Long Island.
Mm.
Yep.
That's where the shopping mall is.
How they get you.
So all night.
Damn, we look like a-holes in front of our New York audience right now.
Of course we do.
God.
Damn. You know the amphitheater?
We look like,
Jesus.
We look like out of towners.
We do.
Picking our nose.
That's not a problem. We love you.
God damn, these buildings are big in this city.
That's fantastic. At least we corrected it before midnight.
Yes.
Yeah. This will be on right before the Ron and Fez replay tonight on WNAW.
And I know I said it once because I heard Garden. I immediately said
yeah.
Jersey.
Yeah, no, it's
in Long Island, New York.
It's Long Island.
Yep.
So we're douchebags. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm calling about the same thing.
Yeah, I know. We're douchebags. We're giant douchebags.
No, you're not. You're good people.
No, we're
douches on this one.
We are.
Oh, please.
We're idiots.
I used to live up in New Jersey, and trust me, there's nothing like this on radio up in New Jersey. I moved here to Silver Spring. You guys are the best.
No, but listen, we effed up this mall thing all night long.
It's only Long Island. It's not like really New York. Don't worry.
How come the show is on goddamn tape delay?
I was home for Christmas, and it was terrible.
Call up there and tell them to edit out when I say New Jersey.
They can fix that.
Well, if they have the technology, not like, you know.
Yeah, we should edit it out.
So, unlike sometimes I hear, you know, the high level of technical advancement you operate under. I don't know if you'll be able to accomplish such a feat.
Well, no, actually, they do have a nice digital recorder at NAW. Thank you. Hey, thanks for the heads up.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're douchebags.
Yeah, but you know what? We've got, for most of the show, anytime you refer to it, it can be...
Yeah.
Doctor.
You know what I feel like now?
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
No. I mean, what's the number in the producer's room?
Yeah, he's answering the phone and picking up on the same
Hello.
One.
Hello. Hi. Hi, emergency.
Right.
Please call NEW and have them edit out when I say New Jersey.
Okay.
So I don't sound like a total douchebag all night.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
What else?
Obviously, he was on a more important call.
Talking to somebody else.
Talking to somebody else. I'm talking to somebody else.
Right. Jesus.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Great news, Don and Mike.
What?
I'm now doing my morning show at night.
All right.
Hey, it's Doug.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
What you got? You know what?
What? What are we going to do? What's the plan? How are you going to handle this?
I don't know, because I don't see a way out of this
now. There is no way
out. What is your lead story?
Well, I'll tell you. It's about guns, as we discussed. The U.S. is still the rootin' tootin'est, gun-totin'est country in the world. In fact, Americans have so many handguns, they've pretty much stopped buying them. A new government report says handgun sales are so low, the industry may never bounce back. Domestic and foreign sales fell more than 50% in the 1990s. The theories include the rules and the paperwork have discouraged handgun buyers. Recent gun violence has repulsed potential buyers. Handguns don't really wear out, so owners don't need to replace them. And that Americans already own all the guns they want. Handgun sales are mostly limited now to police and the military, and even the military is not buying as many as it used to.
Hey, you know, I'm just thinking, if they edit out all the times I said New Jersey today, and you said New Jersey, at the very end of the show, though, this part, they should leave this part in. When we admit that we've been effing it up all night, even though people haven't heard it.
That's funny.
Absolutely. So don't edit this part of the show out.
Leave this intact.
Right.
We're set.
Okay. And Buzz, you know what?
What?
Every night, it seems, when we go long, you get screwed out of news time.
one day this week, we're going to do the backwards show.
Okay.
Very good. We're going to do a show entirely backwards.
All right.
Where we start with the news.
Right.
And then we get all of our personal stuff at the end of the show.
That's a good idea.
But unfortunately...
It's not today.
It's not today.
On the backwards show, will you start out pissed off with the listeners and then just end up liking them?
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, I think you heard the toe tappers in there somewhere. There again. I'm for call 100 right now at 877-365-3636. Okay, call 100, Don, and then we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
We're concerned about AIDS inside our White House. Make no mistake about it.
Discussing places and wet things. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike.
More news now or sports?
No, sports now.
All right. South Korea's Lee Bong-joo and Kenya's Catherine Dereba won the men's and women's divisions today at the Boston Marathon. Wisconsin's Rod DeHaven finished sixth to become the first American since 1994 to finish in the top 10.
Boston today finished the series against the Yankees with the third victory in four games, beating New York 4-1.
Really?
Yes, yeah, I knew you knew that, but I knew it would make you happy if I said it again.
Thank you.
And the Portland Trailblazers have suspended all-star forward Rasheed Wallace for one game for throwing a towel into the face of a teammate during an argument.
What a great guy he is.
Wallace will miss tomorrow's season finale against San Antonio. And finally, the odds of a guy getting hit by lightning are nearly 607,000-1. Rob Keene of just outside Kansas City is the guy. He got hit last week on the porch of his home in DeSoto, Kansas, while he was talking on his cell phone. He says he saw a fiery orange light when the 100 million volts of electricity struck him. He started breathing again as soon as his son started the CPR. But after a night in the hospital, he was still twitching. Doctors say the lightning affected the man's nerve endings and that eventually... the twitching will stop. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. No! And who knows? Maybe tomorrow we'll get more than one news story out of Buzz.
No.
Listen, we got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode of Tuesday. The mystery guest and the secret Jesus in Long Island.
Long Island! Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100!
Right? You've won the 61 Asterisk prize pack. Don't miss the HBO film 61. Premiere Saturday, April 28th, 9 p.m. 8 Central. 61 tells the inside story of the 1961 home run race between Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris.
Ending.
Directed by Billy Crystal, who probably would have had sex with a baseball bat with both of those guys. Thank you for listening, my friend.
All day, every day.
Thank you. We do appreciate that. We'll be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. So many loose ends from today's show that we will attempt to tie up tomorrow.
We'll be tying ribbons tomorrow, every yellow ribbon.
I think we'll start with the tape of the lame TV broadcast tonight, the 11 o'clock news.
Yes.
Who had the worst tax day coverage.
Our own Bridget, the real Bridget.
Yeah, Bridget the Midget will be on the show tomorrow.
Magic!
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. Magic Christian just called also.
The Magic Christian.
The Magic Christian.
You can laugh at George McFly now.
You know, they all come back at once.
Yes, they do. It goes in cycles.
That's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie, please throw that leather football helmet in the air. Yeah, mystery guest tomorrow. Just like Sidney Tyler Moore. I'll see you tomorrow.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis here just saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.